Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan. Dan?
Oof.
Dan.
What?
If you were a feckless guy...
You're so mad.
I am so mad. We had a pre-show conversation that infuriated me.
20-minute argument about whether or not Britney Spears' music...
It started with Britney Spears, and then it ended with centrism, I think? It ended with the ends don't justify the means, but if the means are getting everybody murdered, maybe change your fucking means.
Putting that aside, I would say that...
Then what would you say? If you were that guy, describing our show,
I would say,
i.e., you.
I don't even know. I'm too on my heels just from the jump.
I'm sorry.
You're very angry at me.
I'm sorry.
You're very angry at me.
I was sleeping before this. And
clearly,
then you raised me up.
Clearly,
you raised me from the dead.
Yeah, much like Lazarus, I have raised you from the tomb.
And if you were describing this show to Lazarus,
I would say, "Hey, Lazzy,
what up?"
I would say, "I know a lot about Alex Jones." And my buddy over here.
I don't know anything about Alex.
He ain't
Jones.
No shit.
Uh-uh.
And so that's the show. That's what we're all about.
Very aggressive opening.
Boy.
Sorry.
There's a need to, and like, look, we're not drunk. We did sincerely argue about Britney Spears music for about 15 minutes.
Yep.
And that led into an argument about whether or not it's okay to act like the other side.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's appropriate to adopt the tactics of your enemies when they are children.
It's a good question.
It's not. It's a stupid question. And I reject it whole cloth.
And that's why we lose.
Anyway, something is not going to make us lose.
Right.
New
nice
donors.
Transition. Thank nice you. Transition.
I would like to give a shout out to a couple of new donors. This first one joined up with the team. I'm super excited about it. Good buddy of mine. The one, the only, Shane Smokey Copeland is now a policy wonk.
What?
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much.
Shane, holy shit.
Thank you
I
so
haven't
much.
Seen you in so Smokey long.
Copeland.
I love you, Shane.
He's out in California now doing stand-up.
Oh, is he?
Yep. He moved
shit.
Out there. He's a great dude.
He's a great fucking dude.
Appreciate
thank you, Shane.
Joining up. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to someone who I'd say all those positive things about probably, but I don't actually know who they are. They're not someone I did stand up with and argued with frequently.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate them
and
all
occasionally
the
weirdly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate all the same. Thank you so much, Robert.
I'm a policy wonk.
We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Robert Durst. That was really great.
Burp.
The way.
Burp. It's my Robert Durst impression.
Not bad.
Anyway, guys.
Yeah.
So, we got an episode what? Here.
We're gonna do one?
We're gonna do an episode.
Are you sure?
Yep. And,
I think people really just want to hear the Britney Spears argument. We should have recorded
and
that.
And Durst impressions. I want to say, in this is gonna be a long fucking episode, asshole. We're already like just
dude, I'm done with the month. I got all kinds of fire and fury.
You're
Dan.
Free and now it's
I'm
gonna
free.
It's time to fucking
it's,
fight.
It's rough.
Not into this. So I was trying to prepare an episode for today and I was like, well, on Monday's episode we did the 2009 stuff.
Yep.
And I was like, maybe we need a little bit of a shift up, a little change of pace.
Yep.
And so what I decided to do was look into Project Camelot and I found something I do want to talk about.
Uh-huh.
But it's way too big.
Yeah, the disappointment in your voice says to me that we're not doing it.
We're not. I found a subject that's way too big, and I don't want to go off half-cocked on it.
Right.
I think I found it.
Yeah, it'd be terrible if we went off half-cocked on Project Camelot.
I've got a hilarious story to tell you as
okay.
soon as I can
okay.
do the necessary research. So
okay.
that's on the back burner.
All right.
So then I was like, all right, modern day Alex it is. I
okay.
sit down. We're recording this on Monday. Owen Schroyer is in studio.
Oh, fuck
damn
that.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
So I looked on Sunday and like, oh, this is no good either. I'm not going to do this episode. Then what falls into my lap? But people posting Alex tweeting out a video of him accosting Bernie Sanders at LAX
airport. Oh shit! I saw that tweet. I was tagged in that, and yeah, I can't watch it.
Yeah.
Why are you? You can't tag me in stuff that I want to see. I'm not allowed to.
I didn't tag you in shit.
I know you didn't tag me in shit. All right,
but you could.
I'm way too fired up.
You could watch it if you wanted to. We're not really going to talk about it much, except to say like. It's really a bummer. It's really an indication of how depressing this shit is getting in the present day.
Yeah.
Because like when we're talking about like the Mike Rotondo stuff, the guy who wouldn't move out of his parents' house.
Yeah.
Him being on Alex Jones's show, it walks the line from like, this is kind of funny and weird.
Yeah.
To like, this is really sad.
Right.
This is becoming a very sad story.
It's the difference between the American Office and the British Office.
Somewhat. And then Alex, like, when he's trying to harass Bernie Sanders in the airport, it's like, this is not funny. He's got his son along with him, and his son is yelling questions at Bernie.
Great.
I don't think you'd know that unless you know his son's voice.
Yeah.
I can hear his voice yelling like, what about your homes? And stuff like that.
Right.
I'm like, oh God, this is a bummer.
Great.
Alex is grinding his jaw in a specifically like, that's a stimulant addict kind of way.
Yeah.
It really leads me, I don't have any evidence of it, but like that kind of behavior I haven't seen outside of people who do like coke.
Yeah.
Meth.
Yeah.
I don't know if his supplements create the same kind of effects, but it's like he's sweaty, not from running. He's just sweaty and like disheveled and grinding his jaw while him and his son bother an old senator at the airport. And it's just like, this
America.
It made me
love it or leave it, Bernie Sanders.
It made me so sad.
Yeah.
And not because I love Bernie or anything like that.
Right.
It's just, this is just a mess.
Right.
So I decided, let's stay in the past, and we are going to continue on with 2009 business. We're going to be going over the February 4th and February 5th episodes of 2009.
All right.
And here is an out-of-context drop from that time period.
We'll dine on man flesh tonight!
All right.
This is where I want to start.
Yeah.
That is my jam right now, real hard.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
Now we can see the kind of headspace.
Oh, yeah. White dudes. I'm fine. I'm fine with eating white dudes.
We dine on white meat.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. So we got starting here on February 4th, 2009.
Yeah.
And again.
Yes.
A week and a half. Round about 2 weeks into Barack Obama's presidency.
It still boggles my mind that that we keep saying that, because it's like in 2 weeks, not even just, he starts with Obama's going to kill us all.
Oh yeah.
On day one, Obama's already going to kill us all.
Man the battle station.
And then it's somehow spiraled further out of control. At the same time, Obama is just like moving in.
Yeah.
Like he's just got people, like Michelle is like, get rid of that fucking couch. George W. Bush is a fucking asshole. Like that's it.
Meanwhile, Rahm is over in the corner watching them move in, cracking his knuckles.
Cracking his fucking knuckles.
Yeah, super aggressively. I don't fucking know. Anyway, here's where his head's at on February 4th.
No doubt in my mind they're planning to stage an inaugural bombing in the next 6 to 7 months.
Sure.
Just like 9/11. And there, I mean, you think the worship of Bush with a 92% approval rating after they staged 9/11 was high. Obama will probably be 98% or something, except people are now aware of government-sponsored terror.
Okay. That's fairly contradictory within the same sentence. But
yeah, I don't think Bush ever had a 92%, right?
I don't think so. But
I don't
also
think that's possible.
But also, let's like, Alex, an inaugural, the inauguration happened weeks ago.
No. He's not talking about a bombing at an inauguration. He's talking about the bombing that signals that you have become president.
Just a pure adjective.
Yeah. Just like, this is our first bombing of the year. It's like a debutante ball, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a coming out party.
I'll go with you on that.
All right.
And to be fair to Alex,
which again, I'm just going by context clues. He might still believe that the inauguration hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, that's also possible.
That's also possible.
Hey, I wasn't paying attention. I was busy on RT.
He was too busy staging a counter coup. I forgot.
I was busy being on Russia Today on the day of the inauguration, so I don't remember it actually happening.
Yeah. Actually, Megyn Kelly used to host that.
Is that right?
No.
So I give Alex a little bit of a pass and a little bit of leeway because his head is still in a really fucked up place because of the FEMA camp House resolution.
Yes, yes. That's right.
The Emergency Centers Act that died in committee.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah. Oh, and I'm getting confirmation from the chat room that he did hit 92 right right after 9/11.
Oh, God. America sucks.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty high.
America sucks.
Yeah, but you
He'd
know.
He'd already done some awful shit by then, too.
Yeah, but you know how it goes.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Fuck you, America.
Then they announced they're building the FEMA camps, more of them. And
again, died in committee.
Yeah.
This bill never really went anywhere.
Who announced it?
What's up?
I mean, if he's saying that they announced
it. They did.
Like, but where?
They did.
To whom?
In the white papers.
But who did it?
Who cares?
Give me a name.
And trying to pass laws to merge local police under them inside the military compounds. It's all there. Everything exactly as we told you would happen because we were reading their own documents. And the documents were all compartmentalized, but you could lay each one of them side by side and see a completely clear picture. You could differ with my interpretation of it, but now in hindsight, you can't.
What he's describing is basically like the back page of Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
Where you have to fold it right, and then there's a dinosaur.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I was thinking of, like, what's that Jim Carrey movie? Like the number 47?
Number 23.
The number 23, where it's like you just overlay these bills on top of each other.
Right.
Or he's like he's cutting and pasting different magazine articles and sending it in a letter.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Precisely right. Because I've probably read 50, 60, 70 books about the Nazis, like Heinz Hobel, Order to the Death's Head, 900 pages.
That's the only book he ever brings up when he talks about reading books about Nazis.
I mean, that's too many books about Nazis, though.
But hold on.
All about how they ran it, all their own memos, all their own details, how they controlled dissidents, how they took over the society, how they federalized the police. I probably read 15, 20 books on Joseph Stalin, on Lenin, on the purges, on the takeovers from 1917 right through into the 50s. I've read many books about communist China, including put out by the communist government itself, admitting they killed 80 plus million. Our media says 60 million. They say 80 million, and they're proud of it.
No. The only way to get up to those numbers is to include mismanagement and famine and stuff like that. And I don't think they would be like, we did that.
No.
But also the other thing is like, I went to
college. You think we only killed 60 million? You didn't even add all the people that we starved to death. Come on.
I went to college and I studied with some professors that were pretty accomplished. Some pretty like seriously credible, sources and like,
yeah, they read
big time players.
They read like 70 or 80 books about Nazis.
That's what we're getting to. Like, I legitimately studied with one of the foremost scholars in the world about oral tradition for a class I took on Homeric Greek.
Okay.
I studied with another Greek professor who was nationally recognized in the world of Greek studies.
Uh-huh.
I took another class from a guy who was probably in the top three
Name dropper.
I'm not even naming them.
Yeah, but that's not the point.
One of the high-level scholars in the world of, like, Alexander era Mesopotamia.
Right.
That area of the world.
So you'd say you have high-level sources.
I'm not. I'm saying one thing I never heard from any of them is how many books they've read. I'm saying that not once did Professor McGlue come over and say, like, hey, look, you should listen to what I think about Homer because I've read 75 books about Homer.
Well, McGlue had those big Coke bottle glasses, and he would always walk, and it was a shock got anywhere.
That's McGlue.
That's McGlue? All right.
He was a great man.
All right.
I met his wife once.
Oh, yeah?
Coat rack. Delightful coat rack. Delightful.
Amazing conversationalist.
So I'm just saying that whenever I hear someone say, like, I've read this many books on this stuff, what I hear is you haven't actually read those books. Because people who are actual scholars on stuff don't really say that.
But why, like, so you pull out the number as a way to impress people. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason that you would say 50 or 60 books is because the people that you are talking to
are illiterate.
May never have read 50 books in their life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't understand why you think that's a good thing. Because if you're reading 50 or 60 books about Nazis, really there's only maybe a few perspectives that you can have about Nazis.
Right. If you read two, you got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nazis? bad. Genocide, super bad. Holocaust, not a big fan. It did happen.
If you
once you get past book number four, then you're getting into wild shit. Like it was actually aliens who did it. You know, like that kind of thing.
If you read 10 or more, you're either a scholar, like, and you teach.
Yeah.
Or,
and you teach about the shittiness of the six other books that you read.
Right. Or you're looking for an argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're looking for something to back up your feelings.
Exactly. Exactly.
And your feelings are that, hey, maybe the Nazis weren't so bad.
Right.
So in this next clip, Alex is like, hey man, some people don't think this shit that I talk about is real, but it is.
Hmm.
A lot of people marvel. They can't believe this show's for real. They can't believe that I'm for real because they can't imagine someone with this, in this prominent of a fashion would actually get up and fight these people if I actually believe they're as evil as I'm saying. Yes, they're as evil as I'm saying. But if you had logic, you would know, of course it's for real. Look at the history. Look at what we've been right about. Look at all the facts. Look at how it's all mainstream news now, but with their spin on it.
I'm looking.
I know that I have no future and no chance of a future if these people aren't beaten. I know they've done tens of thousands of declassified tests of chemicals, biologicals, radiologicals, killing U.S. citizens, other citizens around the world, and their own troops. I know they've staged hundreds of admitted terror attacks. I know they murdered hundreds of millions of people last century. And frankly, I'm into humanity. I know I live forever.
Because I like to
just play. Like my ancestors lived through me, as long as the species continues and these globalists don't wreck it and don't completely alter what we are, I live on through those that come.
Mm.
I am steadfastly committed and tied in to my species, and I love you.
Okay. So the only reason that I kept that clip as long as I did, because it's kind of derivative, and we've heard him say all this stuff before, is that it's interesting that in 2009, there we have an example of him, like, that same shit, that, like, I'm immortal as long as my line is here and the past is living on through me. So we know that 10 years ago, he would like that's consistent. He believed.
Right. See,
that's an essential piece of his weird spirituality.
Right. That's something that made me uncomfortable to hear in 2009. Like the genetic mysticism bullshit.
Yeah,
I can get if you're like 40 and you've got a few kids and like
you're
all
taking
that stuff.
These weird supplements.
Exactly.
Like, you've spiraled into a weird paranoia.
Right.
I could see it.
Yeah.
But it existing back then is crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, because he's
because that 30. Means it's existed since he was like 9.
He's like my age.
Yeah.
In 2009. We're very close.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. And very interesting to me that that's like a perpetual, in the background. Because that's not something I realized. And then secondarily, I kept all that in because he doesn't really care even about like the things he's saying. It's all just, avenue for him to be like, yes, this is real.
Right.
And what does that mean? That means I'm big boy.
Right.
I am a big boy.
Right.
People can't believe the show is real because if it's real, that means I'm super brave.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he's trying to reinforce in his audience mind.
I kind of feel uncomfortable with anybody who's really into jeans.
Mm.
Like and not even
like Levi 501s.
Well, those are not as comfortable as you might imagine. I don't like the denim they make those out of.
If you don't trust people who are into jeans, you're gonna have some trouble with Paul Stanley. I'll tell you that.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
That's what you're saying?
No, I mean even in a certain way of just that like. Ancestry.com bullshit. Because the only reason that you are looking that stuff up is like this lottery idea of maybe my genes are special.
I disagree.
Like that to me is kind of what I'm hearing. When you start looking up, where is my genetic lineage from? There's a part of you that thinks, I need to know this because maybe it's really special.
I think
that bums me out.
I think that some people might be motivated by that, but also it's just as likely that some people are just like, isn't this curious?
Right.
I'm kind of curious about the...
I totally get that too. I just get that vibe too much.
Also, there's some people that have argument. I don't know if there's any validity to this, but I know that some people believe that the appropriate diet that you should have is based on where your genetic history is, like where your ancestors are from. I don't know if I fully believe that.
I don't need to know about my ancestors to know chicken fingers and fries, Dad.
I don't
know. Appropriate diet for my white ancestors.
I don't know where that would be geographically, but I don't think you're right. But in this next clip, Alex explains that the globalists,
yes,
dem globalists, are super afraid of the patriots. Then he tries to scare his audience.
They have called us out, and they admit in their own councils that they are in danger and that they are not invincible. They have analyzed the organic attack profile that we have launched against them, and they understand that if you move against them, they will fall.
So this clip is much longer than this, but I want to point out that if that is true,
right,
in any way,
yep,
why haven't they fallen?
It's really not that hard to make them fall.
It's been 10 years.
Yep.
Alex conceivably has been doing the exact same thing that he's been doing since then for that 10 years. So if the globalists, all you have to do is call them out and like right. be like, hey, we're here. They're already terrified of you standing up. All you have to do is stand up. It's been 10 years.
Furthermore.
It's been 10 years, and now we're in a crisis.
Furthermore.
They're going to kill the president.
His point is that if they don't defeat the globalists, he will not make it 10 further years.
Right.
So,
and neither will you.
Exactly. They'll we're all
kill your
die.
Family.
When he says the globalist councils,
right?
Do you see robes and hoods?
Yeah, 100%.
I think when he thinks globalist councils,
yeah.
he sees a big circular table, robes and hoods. Nobody can see each other's faces.
It's the
right?
same thing with the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm right. sure he thinks that too about
yeah,
them.
That's true.
Yeah, he's nuts.
By the very nature of their attack against us, it is so huge. It is so over the top. It is so incredibly obvious and ridiculously evil.
It's too obvious.
Ridiculously. Just incredible.
It might be too ridiculous.
Hundreds of newspapers openly announcing world government, saying the very banks that engineered the collapse, you'll pay carbon taxes to them, and they'll control every financial institution, major corporations with carbon taxes,
nope.
and bureaucrats that work for them, and open private brigades of tattletale squads and environmental squads under the president, and then governmental brigades, and then giant domestic military that the Pentagon now announced
oh.
2 days ago.
Oh,
confirming everything we warned you about. It's here, man. They're not. They're marching on us. And they'll try to put out their
us.
Propaganda that we're not marching
hoods,
against
man.
You. This isn't an assault. We're your friends. Balderdash. Poppycock.
Like it.
This is a fraud.
You got to follow it up with something better.
How could we not be fighting this? How could we not be saying no to it? All it has is that cloak of it's our government. It's our government. It's corrupt, but it's still our government. It is not your government. It has been hijacked. The state governments, the federal government, are fully under international treaty and agreement and have handed over all their authority.
So now the reason that I kept that in so long is that, like, we're just seeing some fear. We're seeing some good fear there. But also based on, like, the globalists are afraid too, but you should be really afraid. They're marching on
right.
us.
Right.
But
right.
then at the end,
even though they're so afraid.
But then at the end, there we continue this this thesis that I started to present in our last episode, which is that Alex hates the government.
Yeah.
He wants to destroy the government,
especially state and local governments.
Well, now here that's the weird part at the end. There, I don't know about local governments because he doesn't reference local governments.
That's true.
He says that the federal government, which we know he hates.
Oh.
Is controlled by treaties, but he also says that the state governments are, which is crazy.
No, they're controlled by international treaties.
No. What is he in favor of?
I don't know.
Because before it was like, you just want states' rights.
Right.
I understand that argument.
Right.
But now if you're saying that the states are also controlled by these globalist international, nonsense.
Yeah. You know who's not controlled?
Mm.
Sheriffs.
Must be.
It must be sheriffs.
But then how do you have a structure? Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you have a city be the largest?
Mm-mm.
Or a county?
Mm-mm.
How do you have that be?
Nope. No counties.
But county governments could also be subject to foreign treaty.
Uh-uh. You know what my city is?
Your home?
Me, Dave, couple guys.
Dave.
We all have a little cul-de-sac that doesn't go anywhere or connect to anything.
I said Dave! You are now.
I do.
You are now the Secretary of State.
I did hear something that was actually brilliant. If you're him, as a propaganda technique,
I'm very excited
saying,
to see where this sentence
saying
falls.
That the carbon tax is paid to the banks.
Oh yeah,
at this time, that's fucking genius.
It's real good.
That is genius because no, that's fucking stupid. That would never happen, and that's insane. But everybody hates the banks because they destroyed the world at this time.
Yeah.
And then you put that together with the carbon tax that's brilliant.
He does this all the time. It's the same thing that he says about your taxes. He says that all federal taxes that you pay go directly to paying off the national debt.
Right.
The debt on the money that's owed to the Federal Reserve.
Sure.
So all of your taxes are going straight to the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
This is a complete lie about a quote that, I believe it was a Nixon quote, that's just a complete... complete misrepresentation of what he was talking about.
Oh man, a president lying?
That's super not Can't true imagine. At all. And then because of this none dare call it conspiracy research that I'm doing, do you know, like, who owns most of the federal debt? Like, the national debt?
No.
Cause it ain't the Federal Reserve.
Isn't it China?
No. They own a bunch, but it's not, they own like maybe, it's less than you think.
Isn't it kind of us?
Yeah.
Isn't it our bonds and such?
A lot of it is private investors.
Yeah, it's mostly our guys, right?
A lot of it is private investment, whether it's foreign or domestic. It's private investments, also
because
bonds that come out of Social Security and shit like that. Yeah.
And it's a good investment.
So the idea that like all this stuff is all just being paid to the banks, it's not really. It's a much more complicated picture. Like, I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, in a certain sense, you could consider a hedge fund buying up a shit ton of bonds.
Sure.
A bank, I suppose. Like, that's a good way of looking at it.
You could, but it's not.
And at the same time, though, that is an investment in the continued existence of the United States. Those bonds are meaningless if you are trying to overthrow the government.
Right. They would,
you know, they would then be worthless.
But unless you don't care about money.
Ooh.
All you're doing is a nefarious
plan. I didn't consider
to...
not caring about money.
Right, which is very trademark bank behavior.
Usually a huge thing hedge funds do is not care about money.
So that all is just some wild stuff. But in this next clip, I got to try to keep moving this along because we got a lot of clips.
Okay.
And I got to be honest, I feel like we're coming out of the gate a little bit slow. And a little bit of it is because of our fight at the top of the show.
Right.
And then another bit of it is that his clips are just kind of a little bit slow here at the beginning. I promise you, we're going to get into some of my favorite stuff I've ever heard on this show.
We're going up the roller coaster. We're hearing the
There's a pattern.
And we're about to go down.
There's a pattern that plays out over the course of these 2 days that just makes me laugh so fucking hard. You're going to love it.
All right.
I don't know why I have to be like, hey, guys, stick around.
I don't know.
Because
I don't understand.
I didn't like that
last
clip.
I feel like
clip.
We've been having fun.
I know, but I didn't like that last clip.
All right.
I'm getting self-conscious about that last clip. Anyway.
You need to go on more walks in the morning.
I didn't get to go out today.
See, there you go.
I slept in a little bit.
That's what happens.
But this next one, buddy.
Yeah. Buddy. Buddy?
Hey.
Buddy. Hey, buddy.
I've been doing a lot of finger guns my cat lately.
You've been doing a lot of finger guns?
At my cat.
And then how are you not having a great day?
I'm having a blast.
Okay.
So, in this next clip, Alex talks about the globalists. Which I'd like to say.
Thanks, Dan.
Which I'd like to say, no shit he does.
Thanks for pointing that out for me.
But he talks.
I was worried.
He talks about what it's like to be on the phone with a globalist.
They have bad connections?
He's talking about this guy. I believe it's Thomas Barnett is his name. And he's a globalist who was on
Tommy Barnes.
He was going to do an interview with... We've heard him talk about this in the past. He was going to do an interview with Alex, and then Alex was like, you're never going to stop us. And then apparently he started... he turned into like a slithering lizard on the other end of the phone.
That'll happen.
And so Alex does an extended impression
of
it.
Are you sure he just didn't get in the way of Moses?
I don't know.
Okay.
But Alex does an extended impression of what it's like to be on the other end of a phone with a globalist in this next clip.
I mean, you get on the phones with these guys and say, we're going to defeat global government. We're going to defend the republic. And they're just, keep on dreaming. Keep on dreaming. We run this thing. We're in control. But to the public, it's all, the children of the terrorists are going to attack with guns. Just turn in the firearms. Just let us have some reasonable gun control for the children so they're safe. Let us ban whatever we want and register everyone. And then by fiat, ban anyone we want from owning a gun and ban any guns we want. Sign over to international bodies and UNIDIR at the UN to control us through treaty. Oh, we just want to be your friend. And we're the government, Just turn the guns in and everything will be fine and then you'll be safe.
You'll be safe. We want to protect you. We're the government. We're the nice people. We're Rahm Emanuel, Nancy Pelosi, and Dick sure. Cheney, and Secretary yep. of Defense.
I don't
Gates.
Like any of those.
Nope.
There you go. Give me that gun. There. There now. Now, these nice men in black uniforms are going to take care of you.
But wait, you said I'd be safe if I did this.
You are safe. Safe to be my slave if I choose to allow you to live.
That is literally the spirit we're dealing with.
Literally.
Literally.
Fool. Fool, weak-minded, now you will die.
Never. Since John Leguizamo's one-man show, the name of which escapes me, has one man so fully embodied multiple characters talking to each other. Holy shit, that was so bad.
You know what's terrible? Even though he tried to use an evil voice, he had some great ideas. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. That evil voice was really fucking killing it. Also, maybe, Alex, it's on you if you start the phone call with, we're going to defeat you and destroy you.
Right. It's aggressive.
Yeah. Whatever answer you get in response to that, that's a little bit your fault.
You got
to
own a little bit of it.
Yeah.
As
absolutely.
An adult. You know, you got to you know what? I bet I could have had a civilized conversation with him if I hadn't threatened to destroy him.
Could have just started with a hi. Maybe even ask how your family's doing.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know what? Why would I ask how his family's doing? He's trying to destroy the family.
My family's doing great. Ha 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 ha.
So, if you thought that was the only impression he does on this show, you're fucking wrong. Here's the next one.
That'd be fun if he's been doing a Bernie for 15 years.
Most of this, like, legitimately, most of the first hour of this program
is all impressions.
The February 4th, just doing voices. Gross voices.
Soon you will taste the blood of Americans.
So real quick.
Little bit too similar to the previous voice.
This is actually an impression of, like, he's talking about the globalists that have stormed the gate into America and are going to take over.
The ones with deeper voices.
This is pretty close to after the last impression.
Yeah.
It's sort of another character, but in that same universe. So you can
see, here's my problem, Dan. I feel like you cut out the part of all of these clips where he goes, do you guys like impressions?
So wouldn't it be crazy if I just did 2 minutes of a weird voice? No.
What if an actual lizard was the government?
Literally,
here's what it would sound like.
Literally, right before the clip that we're playing right now is the "Tonight We Dine on Man Flesh."
That's true.
So that's where we're at.
Okay.
Soon you will dine on them. Soon you will pull their children away from them as they beg and plead. What say you, throngs of vampires, of soulless cretins of Satan? What say you to our great victory over the Republic? What say you? And they cheer, yes, yes. Soon we will stage the final terror attacks.
All right. Final terror attack?
I think Alex took some NyQuil and watched Braveheart the night before, or maybe Lord of the Rings.
I would have accepted Lord of the Rings for sure.
Maybe both.
This is the stand at Helm's Deep all the way.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soon we will completely smash the Republic, and soon they will beg and plead, and you, your dark spirits, will be able to feed all the ancient spirits of evil that inhabit this throng, this horde, these legions of darkness, will be able to sup on the terror and pain of the American people,
right,
the ancient enemy of the New World Order, and the mass murder of these enemies will be greater than our supping.
Stop saying
up. Feeding in Russia and China and Germany and Africa and Latin America. Soon we will kill with wanton abandon. Soon we will revel in their blood.
All right.
And sup.
All right. All right, cool. I feel you.
I see the enemy. I can stare right past the New World Order's veils. I know their spirit. And what you just saw was nothing more than a mirror into the heart of darkness.
Are we now in a Twilight Zone episode?
I feel like that's what's going on here.
Hold on.
Into what you face. Your impoverishment is certain. Your enslavement is near. Your death, for many of you, is a guarantee.
That sucks.
A guarantor.
unless you rise in every way known to you, unless you let the Spirit of the living God inhabit you, and unless you say a prayer.
So, like,
he changed voices pretty quick.
Yeah, and he's back to his normal self now, so we don't have to listen to anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, is the voice saying that, or is he saying that to us?
What do you mean?
I mean, he's continuing
the same... I don't understand what the difference is.
That's a good point. No, I mean, he's doing the voice,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's the character of the person who is an evil spirit or uh-huh. whatever, right? And he doesn't end the sentence in... And then he just keeps going into unless you. So to me, it sounds like the voice is like, I will kill you unless you say a prayer to God.
What you're not doing is you're not seeing the cuts that are happening. Like,
no, I'm not.
What's happening is like, so there's the we will dine on American flesh. We
right.
will crush the Republic.
Right.
There's that demon.
Gonna
right?
do it.
There's
yeah.
that demon. And then there's a star wipe.
Let's call him Ball.
There's
I feel like Ball
fine.
Is
there's
a great
a ball
demon.
Over here.
Yeah, there's a ball.
And then there's a star wipe. And it goes to Alex Jones, but like
right.
a dignified Alex
okay.
Jones.
Okay, all right.
Like maybe wearing a bowler hat.
No, he's not wearing
monocle.
A bowler hat.
Probably a monocle.
Definitely a monocle, though.
Probably looks like Mr. Peanut. And
I would go with
there.
Bow tie.
Sure, I'll allow
yeah.
it. I'll allow a bow tie.
Oh, yeah.
So he's sitting there like he's Peter Jennings on Masterpiece Theater.
Okay.
He
all
was
right.
Peter Jennings, right?
I don't think it was
Peter Jennings.
I don't think so
Peter
either.
Something.
I don't think so either.
Boy, I wish I remembered who hosted Masterpiece
It was actually
Theater.
Caitlyn Jenner.
That's right.
Yeah.
So sitting there, Alex is sitting there, and he's like, what you have just seen is the true face of
uh-huh.
the New World Order.
Okay.
And so that's a facsimile of real Alex.
Yeah.
And so when he slides into his normal voice from that voice, it's a much easier transition.
Right.
That's what you're seeing.
Okay.
What you're seeing is a lunatic. You're seeing a crazy person.
Here's my big question, and I think this is one that really needs to be answered specifically. How long do white supremacists think white people have been here?
Forever.
Because
spiritually, forever.
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
you're asking a stupid fucking question.
If you start saying that we're the ancient enemy of the New World Order.
The Republic.
You specifically mean white people.
Yeah, totally.
And we didn't live here. And, I mean, I think only the Mormons think we've been here even before.
Well,
the
New World Order comes from the Bavarian Illuminati and the black nobility of Venice and shit.
That's
like
right.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So all that, like, Alex can, like, talk about that as being, like,
so they were Americans.
Enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Americans in the same way that Amerigo Vespucci,
right.
Sounds like America.
Right.
Anyway, oh, Jesus Christ. That reminds me of another fucking 6 hours I spent researching for
yeah.
a Dundare Collie conspiracy about
you
whether...
You started going into Amerigo Vespucci?
He came up as a side character.
People can't agree that his is the name.
Gary Allen lies about Christopher Columbus and what was going on around that period.
Right.
And I had to do a bunch of research into it.
What, gonorrhea? I feel like gonorrhea is what was going around
just
along that time period.
On that fool.
Just a lot of it.
Research Pete, I appreciate, has pulled up a list of all the hosts of Masterpiece Theater.
That is a hero.
And I regret,
that is a hero.
I regret to say that none of those are the people I was thinking of. I don't know why I thought it was Peter Jennings, because he's just a newsman.
Yeah. How about Turner Movie Classics? Who was hosting that? That's also a dignified voice.
Man, it must have been Russell Baker, who was around when I was watching it as a kid, but that name does not ring a bell. Anyway, the point is...
You know who's hosting it now? Russell Peters.
I hear it's David Tennant.
That can't be real.
That was in 2009.
Okay.
Probably just a fill-in or something. Who cares?
All right.
That what we just saw, those last two clips, I can't help but feel like that felt like an audition monologue.
Okay, I can see that.
Like, do you know the...
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, I can definitely see that.
The pacing of it, the,
right.
like... Let me show you what I can do.
Right.
Like, he's trying to impress someone who's listening
yeah.
that's not the audience.
He's all three witches in Macbeth.
Look
right
how,
now.
Look how much range.
Or, I'm sorry, that play since we're
the
in
the Scottish
yeah.
play.
Yeah, yeah.
Look how much fucking range I have. You know, that's what he's doing.
Yeah, but that's not a, look how much range I have is one voice. That's not great.
Look how effective I am at getting people stirred up.
That's not bad.
So I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily, I don't think I'm accurate. I don't think I'm right. But
mm-hmm.
man, it felt like that. Like when I was listening to it, I felt like, this is a demonstration of skills. This is almost like a nuclear test.
Yeah.
Or something like that. We're demonstrating what we're capable of. And when Alex is going into all these demon voices and like, wow, all right. Pretty strong demonstration of everything that's in your toolkit.
You know, I kind of do want to put him in a play.
Sure.
Like, for real.
I want
like,
to I want to put him in the Scottish play.
Yeah.
And then trick him into saying Macbeth over
No,
so
I mean,
a light falls on his head.
I mean, is that maybe really just the way that we neutralize Alex? Is we're like, Alex, you know what? You might be a good actor. Let's just start putting him in, like, off-Broadway plays.
No.
And then maybe he goes away.
No.
Maybe he gets a taste of the acting life.
No.
Maybe he starts to really feel... trying to remember plays now.
First of all,
used to know a lot about him.
First of all, Alex Jones is not going to work in live theater for a number of reasons. One, he can't sing. We know that.
You can do okay.
Live
theater doesn't always.
I understand that.
Okay,
but an entire segment of that like possibility is out.
I kind of thought for a second that you thought all plays had singing.
I'm saying that he's not a very marketable commodity in that world because he can't sing.
Absolutely.
Therefore,
not.
Musicals, except for doing the comedy roles who don't have singing parts in the musicals, are out. And we know he doesn't have good comedic timing, so he can't play those roles.
No.
Now he also can't dance. So,
I mean, anybody can learn to dance, Dan. You just got to put your heart into it.
Hearing from the chat room that he should be in Cats, I agree with that.
That's a good
and
call.
That's where we'll drop off. Now, we get to the first of something that will be a trend. Alex has guests on that he has never met. He has a bunch of guests over the course of these two episodes.
That's not
that
a good thing for Alex.
He doesn't know at all.
That's not good.
This first one is a gentleman by the name of Eugene Volokh. He is a UCLA law professor.
That's really not good.
And a lawyer. He's a legitimate lawyer. And this is why Alex wants to talk to him. He's going to set up what he needs to get out of this interview in this next clip.
Eugene Volokh is our guest for the next 20 minutes or so. He's a Gary T. Schwartz professor of law, UCLA Law School. And we've heard about Hillary Clinton being in the Senate, voting for a pay raise for the executive. And under the Constitution, you're not supposed to be able to serve if in the term right before that you voted yourself a pay raise in the executive. That's basically how it boils down.
So essentially what this is a application of emoluments. What you have here is Hillary Clinton was in the Senate.
Yeah.
And she voted for a pay raise for the Secretary of State position.
Right.
And then she is appointed Secretary of State.
Yeah.
But before she becomes appointed Secretary of State, because there's a conflict there in voting for raising the salary, they lower the salary back down to what it would have been before any of that happened.
Right.
And therefore she is not actually benefiting from having voted for a pay raise.
Yeah.
But this is unsatisfying for Alex. He believes that there's still a conflict here in the emoluments argument.
Oh, but that doesn't even apply to the not president.
Which is correct. No, it does. It does.
No. I understand that. But even then, that's such a symbolic gesture as well.
Right.
Of like, oh, we were going to give the Secretary of State a pay raise, but because you accidentally voted for it, you get 20 grand less.
Not accidentally voted for it. It is just a workaround of like she didn't have any expectation that, oh, hey, in a next year, I will be Secretary of State.
Yeah, she couldn't possibly have known.
Voted in principle
for. She was trying to become the president.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And that wouldn't have helped at all.
No.
Maybe she could have given Obama the appointment as Secretary of State if things had gone differently.
Yeah, maybe Obama was trolling a little bit on that one.
I don't know. But
that would have been fun.
Look, the issue that we come away with is, like, the real fun is, like, in present day, the massive emoluments problems that we have with Trump.
Yeah, no, Trump should have been impeached before he actually took office.
Alex has never brought up any of that and says, that's fucking stupid, all this is nonsense, just butthurt liberals complaining about stuff.
Right.
And now we see in 2009, 2 weeks after Obama has become president, he is doing this weak shit about Hillary Clinton being made Secretary of State. There's two things. One, that's fun.
Yeah.
Two, Hillary Clinton's in play. And that means Larry Nichols is probably around the corner.
Okay. All right.
I haven't heard him yet,
but
I'm very excited because Hillary's in play. And whenever Hillary comes around,
Larry Nichols is not far behind.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
He's got to be. So I'm very excited that we're going to see some 2009 Nichols.
But again, once more, hypocrisy means nothing.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
But it's look, this show isn't about that. It's
no,
about,
I know. I'm just tired of it. Like,
we're creating a documentary.
How long did we watch The Daily Show with Jon Stewart putting side by side clips of people saying the exact opposite shit, and it didn't do anything? So
right, but
I'm just bored with it.
Right, but would you rather them not? Like, would you rather that not happen?
I don't know.
Right,
I don't know. At this point, I don't fucking know if there is a world. Like, I don't even know what my ideal world is anymore.
Meh.
Like, I don't even understand it.
Here's my ideal world.
Yeah.
Alex trying to make this argument to a UCLA law professor and then.
Oh, this is not going to go
and
well.
And then not agreeing.
I will say, if you do care about the spirit of the law, it's not clear to me that the spirit of the provision has been violated here either. That it's not like Senator Clinton is getting any extra money in her pocket because of the raise. In fact, the whole point of the diminution of the salary when she was about to be appointed is to make sure she doesn't get any extra money.
So they're like, we got it.
Yeah. Cut his mic.
The lawyer has gone native.
Yeah.
He's gone rogue.
Globalist lawyers.
So then they go to break and they come back and then, Eugene Volokh says this.
So there has been some dissent from this view from the Reagan administration, but otherwise both the Republicans and Democrats have generally taken the view that, so long as when the person enters the office, the salary is no more than what it was at the start of the senator's term, that's constitutionally permissible. And I think that precedent should have some weight.
Okay, but you say this changed in the last 100 years. What was the previous precedent? Because don't you want to go back to the closest precedent of the founding?
Well, I think that's right, but I'm unaware of any real past precedent with regard to that. It's not
English
like somebody
common
tried
law.
That in 1795 and everybody said, no, of course.
So he's arguing, like, Alex is having such a bad go of it in terms of this argument being so weak that he's like, well, hold on.
What about 100 years ago when the world was a different place?
What about in 1870?
Yeah.
What, what did they do?
Hey, what did they give you more slaves? Huh?
Right.
What did they do back then? Huh? Yeah. What's the precedent there?
We want to get as close to the original intent of the founders of this country.
Ugh.
Who didn't want blacks to vote.
Don't like those
guys. Believed in slavery,
guys.
Didn't like ladies
too much.
Don't
like those guys.
Cool. So Alex is having a real tough time with Eugene Volokh.
Yeah.
Cause he's like, no, the spirit of the law.
Cause he's a lawyer.
He's like,
who's professionally good at arguing
with
people.
He's like, well, the spirit of the law and the letter of the law aren't being violated by this. It's not a emolument violation. And historically, Republicans and Democrats have agreed that this is a way of resolving it the last 70 years.
Yeah.
With the exception of the Reagan administration, they didn't believe that they took issue.
Who
would have
guessed?
That. Well, and he lays out specifically what the situation was. It was like, they wanted Bork to be in the Supreme Court.
Bork.
They wanted Bork in there.
Yep.
And he got shot down, and then their second place guy was like, they deemed him on, like, he had a conflict of interest. Whatever.
Yep.
And so he lays it out, and Alex is just like, shit. I'm not doing well here.
Mm-mm.
I gotta shift this.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we've heard in 2009, one of his favorite things to complain about is this LA Times story where a lady was on a plane and she spilled a Bloody Mary and then she got arrested for terrorism.
Right.
Unfortunately, he is talking to a lawyer. And,
again, this was a bad, who booked this?
Oh man, someone who wants to just cuck him out.
And that's the thing.
That's what's great.
This is Alex's issue too.
That's why I love 2009. He has so little control of what's going on that he gets exposed over and over again. Like, he's exposed on that argument about Hillary Clinton. It's
it
like,
doesn't make any sense.
You got nothing here. This is really weak.
See, now,
but now he would
pivot the argument
time
to
out.
His world
time out, time
where
out.
It's imaginary.
Time out.
Yeah.
I just want to be super clear about this.
Yeah.
Cause you can go and you can listen to this entire episode if you can find it. I don't want to misrepresent what is actually happening. The lawyer himself does say, like, I understand that people might have a different view on this and they can make that argument, but I disagree. So he's making his argument and being pretty polite to the idea that, like, oh yeah, like people like Judicial Watch.
Right.
They disagree.
Right.
I don't know why. I'd like to see their argument.
Yeah, he's a law professor.
So he's not coming on and saying, hey, you fucking stupid if you disagree.
Yeah.
He's saying, like, historically, here's the reasons why X, Y, and Z. So I feel like, I just wanted to be clear because I feel like I misspoke a little bit there.
Right.
And like, I'm painting it like he's dancing on Alex.
No.
And that's not the case.
Well, in a professor way, he is.
Yeah.
In a very
diplomatic way.
If a professor says to you, I would love to see your argument. That means he knows your argument is fucking stupid.
Or, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of stupid arguments.
Yeah.
They get into that LA Times article.
Okay.
Alex brings it up before a commercial break, and that was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means this guy's got 4 minutes to read.
Ooh, that's not good.
He's a fucking lawyer.
That's not good.
They read fast.
Okay.
And so here's what happens.
I mean, you've got to know about that.
I do know that there's been a lot of coverage, but thanks to the commercial break, I actually looked up the case, which I think you're referring to. It's the LA Times story about Tamara Jo Freeman. It turns out she was not prosecuted under Section 802 of the Act. She pled guilty to violating a pre-existing statute, 49 U.S.C. Section 46504, which is interference with flight crew members in attendance, which sounds like exactly the sort of thing that was at issue. It's not a terrorism statute. It is true the Patriot Act touched that statute in one very narrow way. Mm-hmm. What the Patriot Act did was it changed it to say not just interference, but also attempt to interfere and conspiracy to interfere constitutes a violation not of the statute.
Why did they hold her for 3 months without a lawyer? I guess the LA Times is wrong then.
Yes. In fact, actually, I was reading some comments by a lawyer whom I know who was evaluating that says that the LA Times got it quite badly wrong on that. But certainly, if you want to, you can find the plea agreement in which she describes what's going on. And what's described is that she, as I said, it wasn't a Section 802 of the Patriot Act.
What about Section?
It wasn't a terrorism conviction. Okay. It was interference with flight attendants.
Well, you said that Patriot Act touched it, but what about Section?
Well, as I said, it touched it in order to say that not just interfering with a flight attendant, but attempting to interfere and conspiring to interfere is also a crime. That's a standard legal principle, that if a crime is something is a crime, so is attempting or conspiring to do it.
So Alex is like, that's bad.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
God, it's been so long since we've had anybody dunk on him to his face.
This is like me being on
that. Oh, I know. I know.
It's me with a law degree.
Legit?
Yeah.
Started jerking off a little bit. Like, this guy just fucking,
It's so.
The moment the guy said.
This is Dean Adele all over again.
The moment he said, I actually had time to read this article. Alex was like, fuck!
I've made a huge mistake. Yeah, why am I doing this?
This is a terrible idea.
But see, that's why, and I think that this is really interesting, that if you take an external view from the entire situation, you disabuse yourself of like caring about what's happening, and you look at it, you're like, oh, this is why Alex does 3-4-5 minute demon impressions.
Yep.
It's because he needs to do that in order to get enough people on his side that don't pay attention to the fact that this lawyer is just picking apart his narrative, being like, well, no, that wasn't an 802, that was, you know, the Section 802 of the Patriot Act, that's what you're saying that this is about, and it's really not. It's an issue where she pleaded guilty to interfering with flight staff, and the only way that that is touched at all by the Patriot Act is to expand the definition from actually interfering to including also conspiring and intending to do it. And he's like, well, it still touched it.
It's like, we finally figured out that, murder is bad, but also attempted murder is bad.
100%.
Like, it counts, it's bad.
Now, if the Patriot Act changed just murder to attempted murder is also, let's throw that in the law. Yeah. Let's make that illegal too. Yeah. I don't think you have a really strong
If that was
argument.
The only part of the Patriot Act, I'd have been like, okay, cool.
Right. There's other things that are the issue.
Yeah, it's but the other things.
It's weird that Alex complains about the stuff that's the softest and weakest, and the part that even I, as a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, do not, like, I don't have a problem with that. Like, the idea of changing it from, well, I mean, I guess you
it's
could
the obscurity of
you
it.
You could jam someone up for intent and conspiracy and stuff like that.
I suppose.
I would take that on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
But I do think that if you are attempting to and you fuck up to, like, kill a stewardess or something, you
probably counts.
But I guess that would probably fall under murder. Anyway, let's not get too bogged down in this, because what happens is Alex really sits and reflects on it, and then...
How does it go?
He's like, he gets to.
He sits and reflects, so we know that Alex accepts that his argument is weak tea, and then he decides that, yes, this law professor has a point, and I have synthesized this information, and I shall apply it further on in my life.
No. He finishes the argument and then sits around and is like, hey, that guy was an asshole.
And if you get classical constitutional scholars on, they would have disagreed with that guy. So that's what a lawyer does. It all sounds reasonable. It all sounds nice, but it's all 180 degrees away from the history of this country and the way those laws, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution were interpreted.
Maritime law.
Admiralty, sovereign citizen on the land.
Classical constitutional scholar.
I love it. I love it so damn much. I love it.
He's pouting. He said he's taking his ball and going home.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Now, if you get a good lawyer in
I'm not a professional lawyer because I'm too good a person. I would never do that.
If you get
this guy is just he's just there to law me.
If you get a lawyer that loves America, he'll say that I'm right.
Bah. Yeah. Bah. Yeah. And bah. Why can't I own slaves?
Bah. So that guest sucked.
Yeah.
And in order to put some balm on that burn that he got from that dude.
That third degree.
Yeah. He's got to reflect on other guests that he does like, such as...
Wait, he's just remembering guests?
Well, such as this guy.
Okay.
Did Paul Watson or did our guys ever post the super high quality KSR-1 to PrisonPlanet.tv? You guys call... guys, call Aaron in here because I see it all over the web with hundreds of thousands of views. It's in low quality because by the time people copied the medium quality, it looks low quality. So we'll find out what happened
Did
with that because I want that KSR one out there in high
Twice.
Quality. That always happens. KSR some super one. Interview breaks in medium quality and then it gets all over the web and then there'll be high quality versions folks don't even know about. We're going to have KSR one back on. He's invited me to be part of a speaking tour if I can. I just don't have the time really, but I'll at least go to one of them. And, we got Professor Griff coming on Thursday. So that's going on.
Spoiler alert, Professor Griff doesn't come on. But he does eventually, but not on Thursday.
Does KRS...
KSR-1?
KSR-1.
That clip, bro, 45 seconds long. He says KSR-1 three times.
Man,
it's one of those things, like, I get it. You want to have, like, this person be, you want whatever they can give you.
Right.
In terms, it would be like Patton coming on our show.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about comedy. And I'm like, right. I'm so thrilled to be sitting down around with Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
It's so great. I love you. I think you're
working. Patton Oswalt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that's even too close.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because he's confidently saying KSR-1.
Right.
Which leads me to believe you don't know shit about who this guy is. You don't know anything about his career. You don't know anything about hip hop. And that's fine. You shouldn't. You are a guy who gets drunk and listens to the Highwaymen.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with not knowing anything about hip hop. You don't have to. You don't have. You should.
I think it's important.
No, I
think you should.
I think you should.
I think you should have at the very least a cursory knowledge of all different types of things.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
It would be nice. I think. Here's what I would say. It's not wrong to not know things about other musical genres.
Fair.
But if those things do come into your periphery and you just reflexively reject them,
yeah,
that's bad.
Right.
Or if you pretend you know tons about it and you don't,
yeah,
then that's bad.
Yeah.
Because you don't know shit about Big and Rich.
No,
I don't. You probably don't even know all that much about Willie Nelson or Waylon Jennings.
When you start getting into Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings, we're in a very different world than Big and Rich, Dan.
I know, but I've been listening.
We're in a very different world than Big and fucking Rich.
But I was super...
So give me a little bit of credit for knowing about Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings.
Let's find the middle ground. What do you know about George Strait?
From Dire Straits?
No,
I'm just kidding.
What do you know about Dire Straits, by the way?
No, nothing about George Strait.
What do you know about Dire Straits?
I know,
Do you know that the Sultans of Swing?
You know what? I know the cursory knowledge of Dire Straits.
Do you know they have to move?
I know Douglas Adams inexplicably loved Dire Straits.
Do you know that they have to move refrigerators? They have to move these color TVs?
I did know that.
Money for nothing. Boy, that song is really fucked up.
They
keep saying the F word and not fuck.
We'll never, ever forget the music video for that.
Yeah.
The block animation will haunt me till I die.
I can't remember what the name of that song is. Oh, The Walk of Life is another one. All right. <Yeah. laughs> Good call. Good call, chat room. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know shit about Dire Straits. Not Dire Straits. George Strait. And, like, you
don't know anything about
George
Strait.
You don't have a responsibility.
I will cop to it.
You don't have a responsibility to, but that he's a huge name in the world of country.
If we were to have him on the show, I would probably do a lot more research.
Right. And if you listen to the best of George Strait and you didn't like Amarillo by Morning.
Right.
Or, I Hate Everything or like some of his big hits, then I would say.
My favorite was the one where George Strait was like, whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. That one?
That was Beanie Man.
That was Beanie Man.
I don't know.
All right. All right.
But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you just reject out of hand a musical genre you don't know much about, then you're kind of an asshole.
Right.
But, Alex is not even doing that. He's just saying KSR-1.
If you misrepresent it in a sycophantic way at the same time, that's a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the only reason I brought up any of that stuff is I wanted to shove in your face.
That doesn't know how to fuck stars. Like, that's what I'm saying.
The only reason I brought up any of that is I wanted to shove it in your face that you, like, get judgmental about people and then don't know anything about country.
All right. Fine.
Pretend you know shit about Waylon Jennings.
All right. Fine.
Anyway.
Fine. You want to start some shit? You're just dipping back into the Britney Spears argument all over again.
Anyway, so that interview earlier, with Eugene Volokh did not go great.
Okay.
Alex has another interview with someone he has clearly never met on this episode, and we're not going to listen to any of it.
Okay.
Because it doesn't really matter. It's very boring.
And
we know this guy.
Right.
This is actually February 4th, 2009, is the first meeting of Alex Jones and Peter Schiff.
Oh!
Economist. Austrian school economist Peter Schiff. He's on because Ron Paul vouches for him.
So this is when they meet cute.
Yes.
This is our synchronicity situation.
And I know that they've never spoken before because he keeps saying Ron Paul vouched for you and stuff like that.
Right,
it's very clear that the two of them don't know each other. There's no chemistry whatsoever.
Okay.
And it's really bad, but they do about an hour, and it just leads to Alex then coming back and being like, Ted, sell some gold.
Right.
He has Ted Anderson on. And so clearly he is even aware enough that, like, this guy is just going to say some scary shit about the economy.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get Ted to sell some gold.
Right.
So we're not going
to listen. So this is more like failure to launch as far as our rom-coms go.
I think it worked well for both of them. I think they got what they needed out of it.
But at the end of Failure to Launch, they did. But it's the part where they don't like each other in the beginning.
I don't think they don't like each other.
Okay.
I just think they have no chemistry yet.
All right.
Because you watch them now, and they're setting each other up for stuff. There's some volleyball moves.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in this, it's like Alex literally says to him, hey, why don't you tell people what you've predicted?
Okay.
And then Peter Schiff is like, no. He goes on to something else. He just changes the subject.
Yeah. There's not hard pass.
There's no synchronicity in terms of like being on the same page.
Right.
And again, I think most of it is because Bob Chapman can't be on every day. I think in 2009, Bob is the preferred guy to set up Ted Anderson's gold pitches.
Yeah.
But we're like, he can't be on every day. We got to get more people in that rotation.
Vein. Yeah.
And Peter Schiff is someone who Ron Paul has advised, like, this guy could do the job.
Right.
He could do the job for you. He loves gold.
Right. We need a solid fourth starter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Need a middle innings guy also.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So then, later, Alex has another guest on that he's never spoken to before. And this one is also probably a mistake. This is a guy named Peter Wallison, who was a lawyer in the Reagan White House.
Already a bad idea.
He is a guy who... He's been around the block.
It boggles my mind that he would have people who actually know stuff. Like, even though he's a lawyer in the Reagan administration, he still fucking knows shit.
Yeah.
Like, why, Alex? I like, the ego it takes, the hubris that he has.
He pronounces it hubris.
Oh. Ugh.
But.
Ooh,
but
a three-headed dog that protects against your ego?
And also, there you go. I think it's because he has enough guests on that, like, he can bend their
railroad
a little bit.
Yeah.
That I think he thinks, hey, it's going to be fine.
He thinks he can gaslight fucking anybody.
Or, at very least, they'll pick up on, like, this is what the host wants to happen.
Right.
They're not
going to
go against it, because how uncomfortable would that be?
Right.
I think he thinks that on some level, but, man, it's not. So this guy, Peter Wallison, Alex wants to talk to him about FEMA camps.
Uh-huh.
And boy, he doesn't agree with Alex.
Now they're openly announcing things like this with bills for FEMA camps to relocate Americans during collapse of society, continuity of government. It appears the federal government thinks we're going to go into a depression and is gearing up for collapse.
Well, I don't know anything about any of those things. Maybe they are happening, but I haven't seen anything like that. And it is actually...
By the way,
dude, this is
I am enjoying his
such
voice.
I literally just wrote down this is white voice shit all day.
It's so possible that we could have a depression. That's why the government is acting in such extraordinary ways. Why the Federal Reserve is doing so much. Why the Treasury Department is spending so much trying to avoid the possibility of a recession. Because in the 30s. The diagnosis has been that the reason we had this depression in the 30s was that the Federal Reserve did not act, and the government did not act satisfactorily to keep the economy from declining and keeping deflation from occurring. So I think what they're doing is necessary, and I'm a conservative.
So the only reason I told you to shut up is like that's super important.
Oh yeah,
that flies counter to Alex's entire world.
The idea
that the Federal Reserve is acting appropriately,
right?
And the reason that the 1929 stock market crash happened was because they did not interact, and they were made to stop all these panics that were happening in the late 1800s, early 1900s, up to 1907, and what have you. And then when, because of so much fear of them overstepping their bounds, we had a terrible...
Thanks, Hoover!
We had a terrible disaster in the Great Depression because they didn't act.
Right.
And in 2008, we got a really good example of them acting and stopping it from being way worse than it could have been.
Exactly.
So this
unfortunately,
guy,
because of conservatives,
but this guy is
it
right.
Was way worse than it should have been.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But that you can't put that on Wallace.
Right?
We can't put that on Peter Wallace.
I'm not putting it on Wallace.
So far, this guy is pretty
He's nailing it. Yeah.
And I do love the moment there where Alex is like, he starts by trying to talk about the FEMA camps. He's like, I don't know anything about that. Boy, I tell you what. Don't know anything about that.
Could be happening.
Mm, don't know
Wouldn't
about that.
Wouldn't say no.
All right. So in this next clip, we get more of Alex trying to, because in that last interview that he did with Eugene Volokh, when it was like, I'm trying to talk about this emoluments thing, and he's like, no, you're wrong on this.
Right.
Then he pivoted to, well, let's talk about that spilled Bloody Mary bullshit.
Right.
So now he's like, Alex is like, well, I gotta find something to talk about.
Yeah.
So he brings up another one of his narratives.
Well, Mr. Wallison, in closing, you've certainly heard about how they're putting combat brigades inside the U.S. I mean, that's all over the news. You haven't heard about that?
No.
Has not heard about that.
Delightful.
So there's that, and then Alex tries
all about it.
Alex tries again.
Did you see Market Watch last week when they called for a North American union to get us out of this crisis?
No.
That Wall Street Journal online?
No, didn't see that.
Did not see that. Yeah.
Oh, give it to me.
That Market Watch article is the one that we talked about on the
we'd already gotten that one.
Yeah, so all of this is just Alex trying to be like,
give me something.
What?
Dude, give me something.
Well, it's like two people.
You're supposed to be on my team, man.
Well, it's like, you know, like maybe you're on a bad date. You met on like Tinder or some sort of like fair. You don't know much about each other. And you're sitting there on the date and you're like, I actually don't like sex. And the other person's like, you like oral? You like oral?
Not really.
What about mutual masturbation? Does that work for you?
Never heard of it.
All right, I gotta go. That's kind of what's happening. It's like the fucking would be the first thing.
Yeah.
Then the hand job.
Right.
Alex is bartering down.
He's trying to get something.
He's negotiating down to that. Like, well, did you see that article about the North American Union? That's the hand job version of this interview. And he's like, I have not heard about that. That sounds crazy.
I'm a big fan of the hard pass.
Yeah.
As a response to Alex, just I want more people to just be like, I don't know. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, let's put the ball back in your court, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Alex has this.
I came on this show to be a lawyer or whatever the fuck it is you're doing.
I mean, I'll be clear about it. Their interview goes much longer than this, but it doesn't really have much more substance to it.
Right.
It's more of like, all right, this isn't going well. So the two interviews on this, well, there's three if you include Peter Schiff, but that one's just sort of like a push. That's fine. It is what it is.
Right.
But you have this first interview with Eugene Volokh, and then afterwards Alex is like, guy's an asshole. He's if you had a real American lawyer in here, he'd agree with me.
Right.
And then here is what he says after this second one doesn't go well.
You know what I feel like? I feel like he's a loser little titty baby.
Yeah.
That last guy is pure establishment. We had him on to see if he'd, you know, slip up and say something
about
it.
We need him. He's got the ear of many people.
This guy's a caller.
Who is this guy?
This is a caller.
Where did this voice come from?
This is a caller.
Did you set this up while I wasn't paying attention?
No, this is a caller, and I didn't set that up. I should have.
Because I halfway thought it was somebody in the booth, like, cutting in, where he's like, I hate this fucking guy. Alex, we need him. We need him for the show.
No.
So could you not be a bitch?
No, this is the caller. I think it's an interesting angle to take that, like, we had him on as a prank or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting approach.
That's not bad.
I think it doesn't track with the interview that you had with him.
Not at all.
But
in Washington, D.C., if we could get him listening to InfoWars for a week, he'd be brought up to speed immediately.
That guy was the chief counsel to the president, believe me. That little comment about how he didn't know about Rex 84, give me a break.
Give me a break.
Give me a break.
Really? Give me a break. Give me a break.
Anyway, we're now moving on to February 5th.
All right.
So we've, two real bad interviews on the 4th.
Real bad.
But now we move on to the 5th. And the 5th, Alex starts, the show.
Again, 2 weeks into Obama's presidency.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now 2 weeks and a day. That's not precise. But Alex is now starting off the show here on the 5th by complaining about Al Gore.
Yeah.
And then saying some weird stuff that is all kinds of wishy-washy.
Okay.
About the more popular version of himself.
Okay.
Al Gore got taped talking to a group of 12-year-old middle schoolers, 7th and 8th graders, 11 and 12 years old.
Nope.
Put him in jail.
Saying how their parents are basically stupid and the state knows best. And I want to go over this because Glenn Beck played a clip of it. I want to play the clip today and give you some more intense background on all of this.
Right.
Glenn Beck had talked about this being like Nazi Germany. He got criticized. This is exactly what they did in Nazi Germany. But side issue, I've really gone after Glenn Beck in the past because he said Ron Paul people were dangerous. He said the military should be used against us. He made fun of the New World Order.
Sure.
Now suddenly he's totally flipped. And it's like Alex Jones has a Fox
Petty.
News TV show.
Well.
Petty.
It seems like that.
This is Pusha T and Drake all over
it
again.
It seems like that.
Yeah.
But then listen to where it goes.
But I guarantee you, in fact, I've already seen this, he's still mixing in New World Order propaganda. The establishment knows that anti-New World Order, anti-globalist sentiment is the majority.
No.
It's now a large portion.
No, it's the
largest minority. Because everything's
sure. Voted
into minorities. You've got a minority of Obama idiots, an Obama of Rush Limbaugh mainline conservatives.
Right.
But the largest sector, the largest piece, no doubt from all the statistics and numbers and data we have, is people now know about world government. They now know about the Illuminati, the New World Order. And
true.
So Glenn Beck is going to get everybody trusting him, and then he's going to betray.
Okay. I'll agree with the last couple words he said there.
He's
going to betray.
He is going to betray.
Now, what's
in
super...
the same way that Alex is going to betray.
No, I know. That's what's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's surprising in this, right at the rise of the Tea Party in February of 2009. It's really interesting to see that level of insight from Alex, because I think he's totally right about Glenn Beck.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not in terms of the New World Order existing or anything
right.
like that. That stuff is a little bit fucking stupid.
Right.
But the idea that, like, he's saying a lot of stuff that is attractive to people who follow me.
Right.
And he's trying to seduce you into that line
right.
because he's got these people behind him. If you just replace the New World Order in that with the Kochs, you have exactly, like,
yeah.
his assessment is right on.
He's nailed it himself.
Yeah, but
yeah, yeah.
but I think that he hasn't made that jump just yet.
No, of course
I still
not.
Think that this is pre whatever change is going to happen. Because he still hasn't, I mean, you look up on the board, he still hasn't abandoned a bunch of those
exists.
Things. He hasn't changed his positions on these very foundational things.
Right.
And like the other day, I don't have a clip of this because it just seemed redundant, but in a clip on one of these episodes, he's like, slavery just became going to prison.
You're right.
Like, whoa.
Right.
Whoa.
You nailed it.
Jesus.
If you get paid $1 an hour, that's pretty much slavery.
Yeah, you're right on.
Yeah.
So, but to hear this.
This is back when Alex is, what you would call, crazy as opposed to craven. Like, generally speaking, no, I'm not saying that it's crazy to have...
I'm scratching my beard because I'm thinking about what you're saying. I'm not rejecting you.
Crazy to say that prison is just slavery, but currently, like, the use of the lizard voice...
No, that's bullshit.
Fair enough.
No, because, like, the history of prison has always come out of slavery in terms of...
No. I agree with you on that point.
I thought that's what you were arguing.
No. I'm not arguing when he makes a good point. I'm arguing that... His ideology is built out of a sense of paranoia, a lunacy, and occasionally he nails it.
Yeah.
Whereas now it is built out of whatever makes me money.
No.
So in your case, like what we're talking about with the board is when does he make that transition from the guy who spouts out nonsense
now
to...
I understand what you're saying and now I'm ready.
Now
to,
you disagree.
I'm ready to disagree.
All right.
With you.
All right. Okay.
And here's why. Because
you listen to way more Alex Jones than I do, and then you give me a prism to which.
No, but I think your insight is often very accurate, and I think it's interesting.
Except not this time.
No. Not this time.
I'm fine with that.
What I think we're seeing is that it's jealousy in the same way that like a couple episodes back when Ron Paul went on Glenn Beck's show, Alex responded with like, "Hey, he doesn't even like him. He doesn't even like Ron Paul."
All right.
I like Ron Paul. We're buddies.
I accept that analysis far more than my own.
I think...
No, you're absolutely correct.
I think the reason that he's doing this, he's going to betray you.
Yeah.
It is accurate analysis.
Right.
But I think it comes from, like,
I'm petty, he's not. Yeah.
And as we see the rise of the Tea Party and we see Ron Paul consistently associated with it, I think that jealousy is going to grow even more and more.
Right.
And it's going to be what ends up breaking Alex's back.
Right.
I think it's going to be what ends up leading him to the point where he's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm in. Let me be the real mouthpiece. This guy is no good.
No, you're absolutely right.
Especially after the 9/12 shit doesn't work.
God, the 9/12
shit. And that becomes
shit.
Super embarrassing.
That still bums me out.
And once the money behind it needs a new mouthpiece because Glenn Beck has been so sullied and cooked out in the mainstream.
Right.
I think you're going to end up with Alex.
All right.
Anyway.
No, I completely retract my argument, and I accept yours.
Now, please retract your argument about
you
Britney
Spears.
You
shall get a plus one, and then an immediate minus one to Britney Spears.
So, now, this is interesting. On our last episode, we talked about Alex Jones's remarkable ability to break down advertising.
Yes.
His amazing insight into Super Bowl commercials. Because we know.
Yeah.
That he took advertising classes.
Right.
And
he took advertising. He didn't say, no. Hold on.
Fair enough.
He actually never said classes.
That's a good point.
He just said, I took advertising.
Yeah. And it's psych warfare that there is a corn syrup commercial
where
the popsicle was sex.
Yeah.
There's a red popsicle that was sex.
Question.
Yes.
Was Mad Men on at the time?
No.
Was this like...
No, 2009? No. This is pre-Mad Men.
When did Mad Men come on?
I think it was like 2012.
Could have been 2012?
I don't know.
Yeah, but
2009.
No. They had like 6 seasons. You can't do 6 seasons in...
6 years?
Yeah. No, you can't do that.
7 years? I don't know. 2009
I'm going to go with Mad Men is right around the corner.
2009 is shockingly close to when I moved to Chicago.
All right.
So...
Because of advertising.
Because
Mad
Men.
Which you took.
Because of Mad Men.
Yeah.
I watched one episode and I'm like, I'm going to Chicago.
You took advertising. Yeah.
No, I don't know, but I don't think Mad Men was on at this point. But if it was on,
I'm gonna go with first season.
Dude, I will say if it is on, the only episode that's aired is that one with the carousel.
Okay, fair enough. But that was the season finale.
I thought that was the first episode.
It could be.
Yeah,
I could be entirely wrong. It could be entirely wrong.
I have no idea. That show sucks.
Oh God damn it! This is Britney Spears all over again.
Oh, premiered 2007.
See, this is what I'm saying.
All right. I gotta not listen to the chat room.
They
could be lying to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the reason I brought up that corn syrup thing is because Alex, on this next clip, brings that sort of back up. Not his analysis of the commercial, but corn syrup comes back in.
Okay.
And it also made me realize just how fucking miserable. Like, I didn't realize that people lived next door to him. I just
wait. The studio or his house?
His house.
Okay.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
I never thought about, like, oh, Alex has neighbors. And it turns out he has neighbors.
I was talking to somebody out my front lawn this morning, and they were going, hey, have you seen these high fructose corn syrup ads, Alex? Is that stuff bad for you? Because if they're running ads saying it's good for you, it must be bad. And I was telling my neighbor, no, you're dead on target, and I just covered that. See, my neighbor isn't into all this stuff, but they're somewhat familiar with what I do. And, you know, when I first moved in where I live, the neighbor was kind of giggling at me when they saw me. Now, they're not giggling anymore. And I see that as an important beta test or microcosm of the wider world of what's happening. So I do go through those television ads, and I'm going to start doing that more and more.
Can't wait for that.
Please don't.
When your neighbors stop giggling at you and talking to you, it's because they talk to you a couple of times. They're like, nope,
not a big fan.
No. I'm going to mind my business.
Where do you see him living at this time? Like, do you see him living
I think I've seen the house.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it, like, I immediately...
People found his addresses and stuff.
Right,
like, all
right,
that stuff was online.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that house. It's pretty nice.
He
lives in nice houses through most of his life.
No, no, no. I get that.
He's well to do even in 2009.
I see the suburban, like, lawn. Like, everybody's house looks the same. Like, I see that settlement kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
Because if you say you're out on your lawn and people talk to you, it has to have that feel of, like, you've got the driveway, you've got the garage, you've got the lawn that you have to mow every now and again.
Right.
Like, that's what I see.
Or pay a neighborhood kid to mow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Punt.
I just
punt.
No, I just feel like I would hate to be his neighbor.
Oh, God, fuck that.
Like, the idea of, like, when you're growing up, I don't know if this was your experience, but when I was growing up, it was always like the archetype of the horrible neighbor was like, hey, borrowed my hammer and won't give it back. That was sort of like the punchline.
The home improvement terrible neighbor.
Right, right.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
I had a nail gun and now it's gone. Mm. To me, as a now 34-year-old man, the only thing I don't want is guy who yells about corn syrup. You know, like, that's the neighbor I don't want.
I don't want the neighbor that asks me about corn syrup.
I have neighbors. I've talked to them a bunch of times, and I've never been like, I do a show about Alex Jones. Because that's abusive as a neighbor.
Now I'm kind of more on Alex's side. If your neighbor is asking you, hey, have you seen these corn syrup ads?
They didn't.
I'm against it.
They didn't.
Of course not.
That's a lie.
Of course not.
That's
absolutely
a lie, bro.
Actually,
you fucking know that.
Actually, his neighbor was in a hot tub with three other globalists at the same time. But that idea of, like, a neighbor who's just like, hey, Alex, you see these corn syrup ads?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that conversation started there.
Yeah.
The conversation started with, like, hey, your lawn's looking nice. Yeah, well, corn syrup is killing you. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go back inside, you fucking lunatic.
You got it.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Gives him some finger guns like I do to my cat all the time. So on this episode, we see less of, on the last episode, we had Alex like, I'm going to have a new fucking crew of dudes.
Right.
And I got a lawyer. I got a fucking White House lawyer.
Duncan.
I got economist who Ron Paul has advised me to talk to.
Got murdered 2 out of 3.
1 out of 3 is great. Fine.
Right.
The
other two,
holy shit, terrible. Oh
murdered
no.
me.
So now he moves on to the next day and he goes back to, like, I know what works. Scaring people.
Yes.
I have to scare people. And so here's what he does. And this takes, like, this is most of the beginning of the episode.
We go live next hour at PrisonPlanet.tv. And an expert on the super volcanoes, a volcanologist as well, on what's happening in Yellowstone.
Yeah. I'm in it.
He believes it may erupt.
Oh.
And then they're talking about large rocks, stones being thrown as far away as Texas.
Yeah.
As far as Minnesota and ash all around the planet.
Also really fun that the two places he comes up with are where he is and where Ted Anderson is.
Crazy.
Weird.
That will darken the planet.
Climate change.
And make the temperature drop as much as 10 degrees.
Probably kill people with that.
But let's go ahead and go to Ted Anderson for the next 4 minutes. Ted. Look, I'm not going to belabor this with the listeners. You're at the very end of the goal you had when it was at the 939.40 level. I know you're, some of the offers have actually had to go up. Gold is right back up at 920 today and racing up even higher.
Very exciting stuff.
Super volcano.
It's going to explode.
I was looking at it.
It's going to explode.
It's going to explode. It puts so much ash into the air. It's going to drop everything
nuclear
by
winter,
10 degrees.
Basically.
No.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
We're all done.
Yeah.
Anyways, let me throw to Ted. How has gold been doing?
Buddy.
How has gold been doing?
What are the sales?
Will it heat me in the nuclear winter that is to come?
Oh, certainly. Yes,
oh, yeah?
Absolutely, yes.
Can you give it to me at a lower price than what it will be tomorrow?
I can't do an impression, but I wish I could do an impression of Ted Anderson just so I could say, like, gold makes great kindling. Something like that.
Could you make a limerick out of it?
Holy shit, that's embarrassing. Like, that is next level. Like, we're going to have a volcanologist on who's going to tell you that it's about to blow. It's going to be the craziest thing ever. It's probably going to decrease the temperature of the entire world.
Yeah.
Shoot rocks to my house and Ted Anderson's house.
Right.
Also, here's Ted Anderson. He's got some gold to sell you. Also, that's a rock. Hey, Ted.
I had a fun period of time where I was really interested
gold?
In reading about... No. Reading about super volcanoes.
Oh, sure.
And reading about the magnetic pole switching.
Right.
Like,
was this around, like, a little bit after 2005?
Yeah. No. This was more like 2014. Like,
that's pretty late.
Yeah. Well, but see, that was when the History Channel decided, like, we're not doing great with the Nazi stuff for a bit.
Right.
So we're going to switch moves.
But,
and we're going to do the whole documentary on super volcano in Yellowstone.
It erupts
every 500,000 years.
Dude.
Guess how long it's been since it erupted?
Dude.
About 500,000 years ago. It could happen at any time. We're all going to fucking die.
See, here's where you fucked up.
Where did I fuck up?
I actually found out when Super Volcano came out.
Oh, yeah? No, I'm not talking about the movie.
It came out in 2005.
I never saw the movie.
Oh.
I didn't know about the movie.
Oh, but you just referenced
read about
it.
That. I just read. No, it's a, no.
Because you just laid out the plot of the movie Super Volcano.
No! There's two different things there. All right, fuck off.
All right.
Fuck off. I never saw the movie.
It's pretty
fuck
good.
Fuck you. Is it pretty good?
I don't know.
All right, we're going to do an 8-hour...
We are. We're going to do a riff track song.
Yep.
So if you thought that was, like, pretty gross, like,
in
terms of salesmanship...
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, I agree. Here's the next clip.
It's nice to know that he did get better at it, though. Right? Like, in a certain way, I am kind of like... Alex did get better at one thing. He improved his skills.
I think it's still as clunky now half the time.
You think
like,
so?
Yeah, because I play you some and you're like,
that's
you
right.
See it a mile away.
I'm always seeing it from the prism of what you play me.
You see all of my transitions as being the best version of them. Like, when I say speaking of blank, like, in your head you think of like, the times it went well. You forget about the times like, nah, it didn't go great.
Yeah.
In the same way with Alex, when his ad pivots, there's a bunch of times they do not work out at all. And you forget about that.
Wait, hold on. Did you just say, I think your transitions are always good?
I'm saying that you look at the platonic ideal of them.
Okay.
You see it through the platonic ideal as opposed to like, hey, sometimes like I...
This is an off-air conversation.
Anyway. So this next clip,
yeah.
Alex wants to talk more about Yellowstone.
Of course.
How it's going to blow up.
It's going to blow. Any moment.
Coming up, over 400 earthquakes in and around Yellowstone. A lot of top volcanologists are saying it may blow sky high. Last time it blew up, it devastated large parts of North America. It depends on which direction it explodes.
About half a million years ago.
They don't explode straight up and out. They blast one direction.
And they weren't even banned yet.
It'll kill millions of people if it does blow up. Remember, they said Mount St. Helens wasn't going to blow. Everything was fine. That's a tiny volcano, a little bitty baby compared to a super volcano.
Lose their little titty baby.
So we're going to be talking to the volcanologist coming up later in the transmission today. I want to go back to Ted Anderson while we're getting Dr. Stan Monteith on the horn.
Come on.
Ted, so you've
come
got,
on, man.
European francs, Swiss, French, and others that are running out.
He did it again. He did it again.
Yeah.
He did the exact same thing. He did it twice.
Did it back to back.
And he even made it clear why he's doing it. He's like,
coming, Coming into break. No, that's a bummer.
He's like, we got Stan Monteith on the line. And clearly, like, there was a problem with the phone communication or something like that. So he's like, fuck, I got to scare people some more. And then let's see if Ted can move a couple more of these bouillons.
Yeah, why not?
And so they do. I mean, I've never heard Alex do that, which is the same thing twice in a row.
Right.
All right, here's the narrative. Yellowstone's going to blow up. You're going to be fucked. Hey, Ted.
How you doing?
I scared him. Sell that gold, baby.
See, I've never seen him do it twice. I'm bummed about this because I'm really kind of excited for the volcanologist. I like volcanoes. Like, I have a whole thing.
So I would say that Alex has now set up that, like, all right, we got this volcano guy coming up.
We're all going to die.
It's very exciting.
Invest in gold.
I'm terrified.
Gotta do it.
You have to be terrified, too.
World is going to end.
I'm going to take a little bit of a side road into selling gold.
Right.
I'm going to do that.
When the world ends, we're going to return to the gold standard.
And then we're going to get back to business, and that is going to be you being scared of this volcano.
But of course.
I mentioned Monteith. Stan Monteith is going to be on.
Stan Monteith?
Well, you said that. Stan Monteith.
Do you know
who Stan Monteith is?
No idea.
No one fucking knows.
I know he's got
the
greatest name in history.
It's not great. I'd say it's in the
what?
93rd percentile.
But in Alex Jones's guest world, it's not even top 20.
No, because there's like General Stubblebine.
So many General Stubblebine. Dawn to Grand Prix. Come on.
It's nonsense. Stan Monteith is a guy who's like he's a real big Christian reconstructionist kind
of
guy.
Great.
He wants to basically create a Christian code for white ethno state in the United States.
They always have those names.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He also is a guy who has a show on the Genesis Communications Network. So
great.
He's part of the
cross promotion.
Right. Also makes money when Ted Anderson sells gold.
We all do.
Hey, it's good times. And so this is the only clip that I have of his interview, and it should just tell you everything you need to know. First of all, he's going to tell people to look up the Trilateral Commission's logo.
Already terrible.
If you're listening right now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a head start. Feel free to look it up. You can go to trilateral.org or just Google Trilateral Commission.
Yeah.
You can find their logo and see if it matches up with his dumbass description.
And if your listeners can see it, go up to trilateral.org. But their logo, well, if you look at it, they're three curved arrows, and you can almost imagine that they're sixes, like 666. But there's no way you can miss in the very center of the logo is an upside-down broken cross, the emblem of the hatred of Christianity.
Okay, fair enough. I would take people's, like, criticisms of anything, like even the Trilateral Commission, if you want to talk about like them having policies that you disagree with, I'll listen to you. But when that's what you're coming out of the box with, I gotta be honest, I'm not listening to the rest of it because you have indicated that you're kind of crazy.
You could almost say it looks like a 666.
No, there's three arrows. That's it.
Dumb.
There's three arrows and there's three sixes in 666.
Right.
That's
right.
The only connection.
But you could almost say it.
Well, you could almost say it.
You could almost say it.
And then if you look at it.
So that means you can say it.
You want to Google on your phone real quick the logo?
Sure.
Just so you can see it. Because it's really funny that he's saying there's a inverted broken cross. Because when you think about the cross, the Christian cross.
Right.
How many points are there on that cross?
Well, there's the one at the top.
Right.
There's the one at the bottom.
Right.
And then about 75% of the way up, there's the one on the side and the one on the other side.
So it's pretty essential that there's 4 points on that cross.
It's gotta be 4 points.
I've never seen a Christian cross that doesn't have 4 points on it.
You gotta have 4 points.
Because otherwise it's just kind of like a divining rod or something like that. It's sort of like maybe a peace sign.
All right.
A hippie peace sign.
All right. So looking at this right now, nah, dude.
That's not a cross at all.
There's
3 points to it.
No, there's nothing. I'm even looking at one that is.
Put it up to the camera for the people watching who don't want to Google it.
I'm even looking at one that is supposed to be like the evil version of it, and it looks nothing like that.
No, that's a.
No, that's like a, it's like a shitty tattoo. It's like a barbed wire tattoo that somebody might get on their back.
There's absolutely no cross in there.
Yeah,
Stan Monteith is a lunatic.
Garbage.
Absolute lunatic.
That's garbage.
So the two
that
of them,
bums me out.
Well, it's just because they want to bait Christians into believing stupid shit, like to help them become enemies of their enemies.
Hey, you know what? It's not hard to do. They already do that.
Good point. Reverend Hexar made the great point. This is what I was trying to come up with. It looks like a recycling logo.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that was
you
what
nailed
I was,
it. I was nailed it.
I was thinking biohazard, but the reason I didn't say it is because it didn't match up.
Right.
Recycling is the perfect one. So they get to talking about like the globalists, because of course they do.
Anyways, you know that recycling is what Jesus hated the most.
Oh my God.
Upside down recycling is exactly the way to hate him so much.
So they talk about the globalists a bit, and they talk about
can't not.
This being like just the worst, most evil plan in the world. And Alex is like, well, a lot of people don't believe this stuff, but here's why you should believe it.
Okay.
They always lie when they're setting it up, but then they always create fear and blow the horn of fear like they did in 29 when they're ready to consolidate. So they've set this trap for a long, long time. But we have Daniel Estulin, who had sources inside Bilderberg and Jim Tucker on tape and in-game and an in-game 1.5 expanded extras. And he's, you know, I'm there in the restaurant.
Have you ever talked about Endgame before?
We've talked about Endgame for like 9 hours.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, hey, we got Daniel Estulin.
We got him.
We got Jim Tucker.
That's a huge get.
Boy, I'm like, if that's your go-to in terms of your evidence, that's not great.
Let me tell you something. Jimmy Kimmel could never get Daniel Estulin.
No, certainly not.
Absolutely not.
Yes, he could.
Too big a get.
Also,
doesn't do it for less than 20 grand, Dan.
Also, just for fun, Daniel Estulin did come on Alex Jones's show in the lead up to the 2016 election and told Alex that the Rothschilds are supporting Trump.
Right.
And the Rockefellers are supporting Hillary Clinton.
That sounds right.
And it's just a battle between these two factions of the globalists.
Who won?
And Alex is like, I agree. he's like, that sounds crazy.
Sure.
Sounds nuts.
Toss it in there. Throw it in the bag.
I don't believe any of that, but it's just funny that Alex didn't be like, absolutely not. He would never be in with them. I don't fucking know.
Alex's beliefs are like the lottery ball machine where everything is just like swirling around and then one suddenly pops out in the vacuum.
But it's just fun that like, Estulin has that, like beyond the stuff we've already talked about him, like he has that in his, world and Alex is like,
toss it in there.
This guy's the best.
Throw it in the bag.
You might remember that earlier in this episode, Alex said that Al Gore got caught on tape by one of Glenn Beck's listeners, he's trying to get kids to turn against their parents.
I think I remember this video.
Do you?
I think I might. This sounds
okay. I'm gonna take
this sounds absurdly familiar.
I'm gonna take a sip of this wine. You try and jog your memory whilst I look at you skeptically.
So I remember him being in a gym. It was a video that was like
that. Very well could be right.
It was like 30 degrees, looking at him from a distance of probably like 150 feet. And you could see just a part of the, it was almost like an assembly where people were sitting on
their
chairs.
Hey, bro. What? I wasn't looking for you to describe the mise en scène.
I'm sorry, but that's the problem. I remember the image. I can't remember the bullshit that they're trying to lie about.
Listen.
Like if I was going to encapsulate what I think about what he said, it was probably something along the lines of, if we are going to, I can't fucking pull it. I think I remember it, but I can't pull the words.
Let's see if this jogs your memory.
Okay.
The Nazis, the Soviets, they always come and tell the children, you're the boss of your parents.
Yes.
Report on them.
That is exactly what I remember.
All over the country, they have BATF grants to local police to have officers in the middle schools writing dossiers on their parents. I covered my film, Police State 2, The Takeover. I mean, this is happening. And you read this article, sometimes Jennifer Ross feels she cannot make a move at home without inviting the scorn of her daughters, 10-year-old Grace and 7-year-old Alyssa. And it shows the daughters bossing her on the photo, looking at her like this, and she's, yes, master. The Acura MDX she drives, a flagrant polluter. The bath at night to help her relax.
Acura!
A wasteful indulgence. The reusable shopping bag she forgot. Again, tisk, tisk. I am very, very, very environmentally conscious, children. More so than me, and I'm embarrassed to say, said Miss Ross, a social worker in Dobbs Ferry, New York. They are on my case about getting a hybrid car. They want me to replace all the light bulbs in the house with energy-saving bulbs. And then now it says they don't use the washer. They've got clotheslines in the house.
Oh,
and her
no.
kids are the boss because the state says so. So the state is the boss.
State
right
mandated
out of
1904,
clotheslines. Where, you know, the children are spies of the parents.
So this is the first sort of piece of his complaints about
this. You know what's weird? What he actually described is Puritanism from the beginning of fucking America.
No, he actually...
Like, that is word for word what Puritans used to say is a good idea.
But he's also describing what is, like, good best practices.
Oh, like, you mean, like, using... No, I was talking specifically about kids... calling bullshit on their parents and everybody.
Oh no, I wasn't
policing
about
each other.
I'm
in
just
a
talking about
way.
The actual things.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that's all great stuff.
Like the idea that like if you aren't in a rush, hang your goddamn clothes instead of you wasting electricity.
Oh yeah, no,
and
that's
water.
A great idea.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in like we had a dryer, but you know what? We also had a basement. We just hung clothes to dry.
Yeah.
In the basement.
That's nice.
My parents are pissed off about, like, the idea of, like, wasting resources.
I can't do that. My girlfriend and I are discovering mold all over the place, so no hanging.
Fine. That's other consideration.
So fuck you, Al Gore.
No, but that's another substantive consideration.
Yeah.
If you don't have those considerations, you should hang up clothes.
If
you
we should. Had a backyard, we would do it.
I would absolutely do that. I would
love
it.
That
if
fun.
I didn't have to, also, every time I wash my clothes, it's like, I need them now.
Yeah.
So I also
yeah,
have
yeah,
to
yeah,
use
that's
the dryer.
True. I do not wash my clothes until I have no clothes to wear.
But it's the same thing with like, I grew
up. Which is like a week.
I grew up with never having a dishwasher. Because
right.
you can just wash dishes by hand.
Right.
And use less water. You can do that. And so that was always the principle that I grew up with. And it's not like, so whatever is going on here, like that Alex is describing in this article is just old ideas.
Yeah.
It's just old ideas, but he's taking issue with the idea that children are like getting into them. And that to
okay.
me is weird.
Okay.
That to me is strange because kids are being taught more or less that like, hey guys, there's these resources. We may not have them for long.
Right.
We might have fucked up.
Right.
We might have fucked up and you might be the ones who are going to
suffer. In fact, you will be the ones who are going to suffer.
Almost certainly.
Whereas we will not. We'll be dead.
We're sorry.
By the time you suffer.
We're sorry about this.
So
but,
maybe in your own self-interest, ignore the dumb shit your parents are doing because they're going to die before they have to deal with the consequences. By the way, all of the things they've done have led to you dying a lot faster than you should.
Yeah. And so it's weird to me the idea that what Alex seems to be taking issue with in that clip that we just listened to is that he's mad that kids are asserting a voice.
Mm.
I don't understand why that is a problem.
Because what do you mean?
Well, I don't understand because they're the ones who are going to have to shoulder the burdens.
Don't understand.
Right. So
No. In Alex Jones's worldview, though, you are not capable of, unless you're Alex, denying or defying your parents until you are already an adult.
Well, and also, fuck them. They're just me.
Right, exactly.
So I guess
how can you disagree with them? They are you.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess there's that. That's super weird.
That is
but
weird.
But eventually, Alex finally gets around to playing the clip of Al Gore. And here's where we're at.
Now, again, it isn't about the environment, folks. It's about control. It's about...
I have
bring
to preface
in global
it
taxes to be paid to the new global central
because
bank.
He's
openly
not
announced,
say
as we
that.
Told you for years, now public. We're right. Here it is.
Before I say this, I need you to know that I am already right because maybe what he says is going to disagree with me and what I say, but you need to know that you should view this through the lens of
me
always already
being
right.
Ain't always being right.
Always being right.
You're totally right. You picked up on the exact subtext of that.
Oh, yeah.
And what's fascinating to me is, like, I'm sorry to keep bringing up the fact that I'm going over all this none dare call it conspiracy stuff.
Right.
But I'm spending a lot of time in those trenches. And one of the things that Gary Allen does, and all of these dudes do in that world, one of the things they do so much is that preemptive groundwork.
Right.
That laying track.
Right.
Of like, I'm super right. I need you to be on board before we get the information.
Before you hear this.
Right.
You need to know that you need to view it through the lens of me already having told you what it is he's going to say. Even when he says a thing that is not what I told you he's going to say, you need to know that he's actually saying the thing I told you he's going to say. Now let's play the clip.
If I show you X with no context.
Right.
You might have some thoughts about it one way or the other.
Oh, you might even think it's Y.
And I cannot fucking allow that to possibly happen.
What if
so
it's X?
What I need you to do is accept my argument that it's X.
It's already
before
X.
Before we even deal with X.
It could be Y.
Right. It's exactly the same thing. It's crazy. But yeah. Anyway, here's the actual clip.
Yeah.
Way to when I was your age and the civil rights revolution was unfolding.
Real quick, it's really funny because Alex is just playing a clip he stole from Glenn Beck's show because you can hear Glenn Beck chiming in.
No,
just a second.
That's sad.
Well, just a second ago, you heard Glenn Beck say 12.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah, he's just.
I thought that was
nope.
Okay, I thought that was the person who was videotaping it, and this was at the time where people still use giant cameras.
Alex is stealing a clip from the Glenn Beck show.
Dude, that's sad.
And we kids ask our parents. And their generation, explain to me again why it's okay for the law to officially discriminate against people because of their skin color. And parents try to tell their kids the right thing, you know. Usually, I do. And when our parents' generation couldn't answer that question, that's when the law started to change.
Okay, also, by the way, right there, you know
that
why
was,
it cut?
That was
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's go to the next part of the clip.
He has to do that because he's stealing clips from Glenn Beck.
God
he's not getting
it.
Clips of his
God
own.
God damn it.
He's just
also,
repackaging Glenn Beck news.
How?
What?
How?
What?
How?
What?
What kind of
mental... Wait till the end of this and then we'll
okay,
get it.
Okay, all right.
There are some things about our world that you know that older people don't know.
And it goes on and on. There's another clip we'll play later, and I'm going to comment on this more. But
he doesn't really comment on it that much. So the essential argument that's pretty much all the audio from the stolen Glenn Beck, Al Gore, commando footage that he found. I would posit that what Al Gore is saying is that certain things are entrenched, in people's worldviews, and you children, younger people, have an ability to not be entrenched by that and be able to see the bigger picture. When we were younger, the example would be that, civil rights stuff. Parents couldn't see the forest for the trees because they had been brought up in that context, that milieu that did not allow them to see outside of that box. For you, perhaps it is this climate stuff and your parents don't understand it and maybe you do. He's speaking specifically to people who were involved in like a climate organization. It's not.
Apply it to gun control. I can't imagine any way you can hear that and misunderstand it. I really can't. Like, it seems so clear.
There's an even more fun way to look at it.
When I was growing up and 70% of people thought Martin Luther King Jr. was doing the wrong thing, because again, you guys don't know this because people pretend that it wasn't true, but Martin Luther King Jr. was a really, really, really unpopular guy during his time.
Yeah.
And all of us kids realized at the time our parents were fucking insane.
They're wrong.
And you know that. You can fucking see it. How can you not look at that and think, oh, shit, I know exactly what he's saying. I know exactly what he's fucking saying.
Oftentimes when-
How is it possible that that is not a clear and perfect argument?
Oftentimes whenever there's a crisis point, it only illuminates where, the past's problems are.
Right.
And where the, potentials for what the future we can make are. And that's sort of spiritually what's going on in that clip, with Al Gore. He's talking about the consistent problem of the past and the consistent promise of the future. And so, you know, it is what it is. Alex doesn't agree with that. And I would say that if you don't agree with that, then it behooves you to, one, argue on the merits against climate stuff.
Right.
Or two, accept that metaphorically you're saying that fighting against people who were anti-civil rights
right.
was the wrong
was
thing
was the
to
correct
do.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, you're
yeah.
pro yeah. being against civil rights.
No, I don't,
cuz that's the only, like, I don't,
there's so many things on the right because of my family and the people I know where at the very least I can understand where you're coming from. But if you can take what he said and turn it into something bad, you're insane.
Mm.
Like, there is no way that you can listen to that and not process it correctly unless you are fucking gone. Mm. There's just no way. It's not possible. If you look at that and you say there is something malicious in that behind the idea of you should never trust your parents, you're a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fucking idiot. I'm done. You know what? I don't think that Glenn Beck guy is a really good guy.
Oh, certainly
I'm
going
to tell you that right now.
So,
I think I fucking nailed it in 2009.
Well, I'm thrilled for you. But I'm even more thrilled for you because we're about to find out what happens.
Because we've got 800 million more clips, don't we?
700 million.
Yeah. All right.
So look, dude,
yeah,
we're about to find out what happens when, two not strangers, friends sit down, with some audio clips
and stop being fake and start getting real.
Stop being polite and start listening.
Yeah.
To
I've never watched The Real World. I was trying to pull it. And
start
I
listening
do it.
To a volcanologist.
You know, it got destroyed in the reboot.
The volcanoes?
No, Vulcan.
Oh.
Planet Vulcan.
All right. So I don't have taste for that. So Alex finally gets around to having this volcanologist on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's very exciting because this dude has no fucking time for Alex.
Right.
He is just about the science and it's delightful.
Okay.
So, we've got a top volcanologist, Dr. Robert B. Trombley on with us, PhD,
Trombley.
To break down from his expert opinion and research exactly what is going on and studying the volcano himself physically. Sir, it's great to have you here with us.
So real quick, from that introduction, you got to expect that Alex thinks that this guy is going to be like...
This guy's on his team.
It's going to blow up any day.
This guy's on his team.
That thing is going to blow up
tomorrow. So fast, you should buy gold.
Now, the only thing that happens really fast is Alex having his narrative busted.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. Delighted to be here with you. Listening to your intro. You're talking about asteroids. I was originally trained as an astronomer, so I was very interested in that as well. But at any rate... First of all, for starters, relative to Yellowstone, there should not be any panic or fear amongst the populace at the moment.
Ooh, that's pretty clear. It's pretty blunt. But in case you thought that was a little subtle,
Hold on.
No, hold on.
No.
Robert
continue.
Trombley.
Continue.
He wants to clarify.
Please.
He wants
Please
to clarify
keep it going.
A little bit.
So it's only erupted three times in its entire history. But there is no, as I said, there's no real cause for alarm at the moment. In fact, the earthquake activity has subsided quite a bit of late. So, but this is a common occurrence.
All right. Well, that's pretty blunt.
It's fairly cut and dry.
Yeah. But so you know how when Alex, in his last two failed interviews from the day before, he kept trying to like,
here's what I want you to say.
We got to get some juice.
Could you please say what I want you to say about anything? Look, you've already said no to this stuff. Let me try and throw you into this narrative, and maybe you'll say yes to that. Come on, give me something.
The next five or six clips are Alex so desperately trying to be like, please make people scared. Please. And it doesn't work. It's so gorgeous.
Immediately, my first response to this clip, in the context of all of the other clips, is like, when did somebody else take over booking guests?
I think that this...
Like, is Rob Dew has to still be in the mix, right?
I don't know.
But somebody...
I think he's there.
Somebody is, booking guests. And occasionally, it feels like they're like, Alex Jones is fucking stupid and I want to show the world.
Well, but I think that there is like, I don't know, you know, cause like, the reason I'm laughing a little bit is like, I just thought like about the idea of good faith and it's like,
right. Goodbye.
No, but like good faith for us is one thing.
Right.
But good faith for an InfoWars booker would be a completely different thing. It's like, on good faith, you booked him thinking he would go along with
our bullshit.
So like,
But that doesn't mean anything anywhere.
No, I know. But the reason I'm having a difficult time like, continuing this conversation is because that tickled my brain to a very serious extent.
See, that's who I want to talk to.
Rob Jacobson.
No. Get rid of all of the fucking guys. Who was booking these guests?
No, I know.
In 2009.
There's people. Like,
I want to know.
There are people who are like Rob Jacobson or, who's that? I can't remember the guy's name. There's another guy, there's people who have broken away from the cult.
Yeah, no, of whatever, course. Of course.
Who, but Rob wouldn't talk to us because he's in the middle of his EEOC lawsuit against Alex.
Sure.
So like, he wouldn't talk to us. Maybe at some point he might, but like, there are people who have left. You know what sucks too? There's a bunch of people who have left who have gone on to just be like, I'm going to make my own version.
Oh,
and so they create YouTube channels where they're like, I'm going to be just slightly smarter.
Right.
And act like I'm going over the actual documents, whereas Alex just screams about stuff and like, oh no,
They're the guys who know the scam, but don't know why the scam works.
They just don't get it. It's just worse entertainment.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. Why is this getting booked?
I just want to know who it was.
I don't know.
Because it wasn't Rob Dew. Here's what I see. What I see with these guests today is nobody was protecting Alex. And at this point in time,
protecting the business.
When we live in 2018, everybody is protecting him.
Yeah.
He is this fragile, weak creature, that if he comes in contact with people that disagree with him, he's gonna cry and scream. But back here, he is going to just like meekly talk shit about you after you're gone.
I think what you're not taking into account is that like at this point, Alex is, as he always has been, on a warpath against the globalists.
Right.
But he even knows that he's just kind of making bullshit up.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't entered into, like, the pupa, the,
He is still a caterpillar.
Exactly.
Yes.
In some ways, and has not grown into, like, what I'm doing.
Right.
And he hasn't been surrounded by, like, what you're talking about is, like, he has people who are like, you don't want to talk to the person.
Yeah.
They're going to fuck you up.
No, of
they're going to fuck you up.
Right.
And he also,
just like Trump's lawyers are like, don't talk to the grand jury.
Right.
Don't talk to them because if you're under oath, you're going to lie and you're going to be fucking fucked.
But at the same time, he doesn't have also the cadre of people he can talk to. So he doesn't have,
that's true.
He doesn't have like,
he doesn't have the Avengers.
Larry Nichols isn't there.
Yeah.
Steve Pachanik, the two of them know each other, I believe, at that point.
Right.
But he hasn't, he's not around.
Right.
Larry Nichols and him know each other, and he's not around.
Right.
He just met Peter Schiff. A lot of these classical weirdos, and these people who have been a part of his, like, I can always put my elbow on you, and you lean on me, yeah. I'll lean on you.
Yeah.
Kind of shit. They're not around. He has to do something.
I love
Jesse
like,
Ventura
far
comes
more,
around, but not
far
often.
Far more than our 2015. I love 2009 because this is chaos.
It's the Wild West.
Yeah.
But the Wild West also suffered from frequent volcano attacks. And
that is your ideal transition.
That is the greatest one.
That is the greatest one you've ever done.
So
you nailed it.
So Alex, like, he keeps trying to get, like, this guy, Trombley, to be like, you should be scared. But
yeah.
He keeps going like, no. So here is Alex asking, is there any danger?
Is there any danger of it erupting? And if it did erupt, what would
that was
happen
what
looking
asking.
At the last eruptions?
Okay, first of all, no, there's no real danger of it erupting at the moment. My normal take on this is it would not probably be erupting for several hundred or even thousands of years from.
Okay, so that's
all
not
right.
The serious
his normal concern. Take on it.
Yeah,
his normal take on it.
Oh,
I want to hear his abnormal take on it.
He does not go on to invalidate that.
Oh,
in
okay.
All right. So then Alex asks, like, "Well, look, the world. It seems like we're entering an era where there's way more eruptions of volcanoes.
Sure,
is that true?"
Is it, though, you believe from the evidence, entering into the cycle of eruption?
It could be, but there's no real indication of that at the moment. I mean, it's not acting up in the normal.
You had told me off air, I believe, you were saying 61% with the computers, though, that it will erupt. But I guess you mean the next...
No, that was readout.
Readout,
that was
okay.
Readout in Alaska.
Totally different volcano.
That was a completely different volcano?
And not a super volcano.
All right,
yeah,
it was a readout?
Volcano.
All right.
Readout is the name of volcano in Alaska.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so that's what we're talking about.
Like I said, I got it really into volcanoes for a while.
So then Alex asks, like, why? Like, there's an uptick in volcanoes, though, right? There's a lot of volcanoes.
I'm going to go with a hard no.
Doctor, is overall volcanic activity increasing right now? Or are we in an uptick in the cycle? Just from watching the news, it seems like there's a lot more eruptions going on right now.
No, that's somewhat of an illusion. We normally have about 40 to 60 eruptions a year.
Love it.
The reason that it appears that way is because of the technology and the mass media we have now. I mean, you know, 10, 15 years ago, a lot of people didn't even know an eruption went off, except those of us in the business. And sometimes we get that 3-4 weeks later, even longer.
Yeah.
Now it's almost if an eruption goes off anywhere in the world, including in the oceans and so forth, like on islands, I mean, in the oceans and stuff like that, we know about it within minutes.
So that, no, that doesn't
God,
work. So Alex
that's
is,
so good.
That question's wrong.
That's so good. This is my favorite volcanologist in history.
So now Alex asks, like, why are people freaking out?
Yeah.
Why are people panicking? Why are some people moving out of the area? Why are they having false alerts if this is just part of a normal cycle?
Well, it could be. I don't really know why.
I know you don't really.
So, like, I know you, like, I don't know why.
After I want you to speculate. Please speculate and make people afraid. Please. Please!
No, but after that, like, his response being kind of like a giggle, it's like, the reason is because of you.
Yeah.
People like you, Alex.
Yep. Yep.
That's why, cause.
Why are people more afraid? Because you make them more afraid.
Do you remember an hour ago on your show how you were like, it's going to cause the world's temperature to go down?
Remember when we had connection issues and I was listening to you and you said some crazy dumb shit?
So now, to take things to, like, the craziest fucking level.
Yeah.
Because Alex is having such a bad time with this interview and just not getting his way at all.
Yeah.
He's got to take this to, like, perhaps the craziest level possible.
Of course.
Just to get something.
Just go. Just go.
I need you to give me something.
Right.
I know you don't really study hydrogen bombs, but there were some debates about if there was ever, you know, nuclear testing causing earthquakes and some evidence that it was triggering seismic activity around the world. and kind of a domino effect. I wonder what would happen if a hydrogen bomb went off over Yellowstone or right in the middle of the caldera. Could that open up a fissure? I mean, we know the Earth's a bunch of tectonic plates floating around on molten magma. I'm just curious because there's a lot of military bases based out there and things.
I suppose it could.
Okay, sure. That's great. Good. You got him.
Love it.
You got him, Alex.
Love it.
You got him.
Love it.
Nailed to the wall.
Suppose
what if,
God, I love these interviews.
What if we nuked Yellowstone?
I want to stay in 2009 forever. Are you shitting me?
It's so crazy.
This is so good.
This shit is not working out so hard that he's like, what if we nuke volcano?
What if banana shit happened?
If we were to nuke this volcano, would it justify my fear?
That's great. It would.
Maybe. What an asshole. Anyway.
I could not love this more.
This is such
great. This is the Alex Jones that captivated people, isn't it? Like, isn't this the Alex Jones that was willing to be dunked on and yet still pull his narratives?
I don't know.
Like now, he would never accept this.
I'm fascinated.
This would have been talked over. This would have been yelled over. There's no way that he would have even finished a fucking sentence. But this 2009 Alex is willing to not just listen to this guy, but like say, yeah, no, yep, no. I get what you're saying, but
I'm gonna fucking try.
Now
I'm gonna try.
Have you ever gone to Narnia?
No.
If in Narnia Aslan wasn't around at the time, would Yellowstone still erupt?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fantastic. I love this.
I don't know, man, because I mean, we saw in the 2008, we saw him getting dunked on by Dean Adele.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Hard.
Great stuff.
And we've seen this, like, the last two days, as we're, like, in this episode.
Right.
Three out of four interviews are just like, dude. Now, on the other 2 days, he was able to, like, spin out of it and be like, that guy was an asshole.
Right.
We only had him on to set him up.
Right.
This one, he can't. He can't get out of it. And it's embarrassing. It goes on an hour, and he keeps to being like, well, what about if we nuked it? You know, like, it goes to that extent.
Right.
He looks bad on air. It doesn't really matter, though, because, like, honestly.
I'm just a big fan of this guy especially being like, oh, also, I was trained as an astronomer, so I'm smarter than you in, like, a million different ways.
He's not even saying any of that shit.
No, but it's so clear that the subtext is like, I'm going to explain to you, like I would a child, exactly what's going on.
You notice that this volcanologist is not like, I've read 60 books about volcanoes.
He's so patient.
Yeah.
He's so kind.
He's a fucking scholar.
He's just trying to make sure that Alex and Alex's listeners know that, in all honesty, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. So this has been most of what is fun about February 4th and 5th in 2009.
Great. So you're going to close with some bullshit.
Three clips.
All right.
That are batting cleanup.
All right.
Some of it really terrible. Some of it fine.
Okay.
Nothing good.
All right.
So on this February 5th, Alex has an interview with a guy named Aaron Zellman, who's the president of the Jews for Gun Preservation Rights. Gun Right Preservation.
All right. Sure. I didn't know there was a group.
It's an organization that Alex used
Jews?
To be super in favor of.
Sure.
I don't know if they exist anymore.
Sure.
I have no idea.
Why not?
Just be Aaron Zellman. I have no idea who this organization is.
Entirely possible.
I would say that this interview does not go great, because here's how it starts.
Well, you are right about a dire situation. We are faced with a war, a literally war, a war on gun owners waged by the government. It's a mission that I guess you could call it the United States government's final solution to the Second Amendment. I'm not trying to be funny.
You are kind of trying to be funny.
Nice.
Hey, guy.
Love it.
Hey, guy.
Love it.
You're kind of trying to be funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying.
Oh, boy.
It's the Holocaust. But for guns. So it's bad? Is it bad? If we had a Holocaust for guns, is that bad?
Like, legitimately, I'm one of these dudes who doesn't really get mad about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not. No.
I know.
I'm pretty chill, generally, in terms of, like, unless you talk bad about Michelle Branch or Britney Spears.
Don't bring us back to the Britney Spears debate.
But generally, I'm pretty chill. For me.
Which, again, a weird underpinning to this entire episode.
Or Mandy Moore.
Is our pre-episode argument about Britney Spears and every teen pop star at the time.
But, like, I'm pretty cool about stuff.
Generally.
It really makes me pretty mad. Like, I don't know. I'm not Jewish. I'm not.
Naturally.
I have empathy for Jewish people.
Yeah.
I have an anger at the Israeli government. I think those things.
Apartheid is bad.
I think those things can occupy the same bosom.
Generally speaking.
But I'm furious when I hear someone be like, this is the final solution about guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the guy who runs Jews for gun right preservation.
Right.
And then he's also like, I'm not trying to be funny.
Not trying to be funny.
First of all, as a comedian, a former comedian.
Right.
I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Comedian.
Go fuck yourself. You are trying to be funny.
Yep.
Second, the only way you're going to make that fucking awful joke.
Yeah.
Is if you really don't think the Holocaust happened.
No.
Or you don't think it was that big a deal.
Right.
For you to use the term final solution as a way to poke, like, hey, here's these people trying to take our guns.
Yeah.
When they aren't trying to take your guns, you still have your guns now, 10 years later.
Yep.
You dumbass.
Yep.
The only way you can use that language is if either you don't think the Holocaust was that big a deal and the final solution is not something that Jews should really be triggered by.
Right.
Or you kind of want to wink at the Nazis.
Yeah.
One of the two.
I'm not entirely sure which, but I get what you're saying.
Fucked up.
Dan.
It's not okay.
Dan, but
That makes me really mad.
I just have to ask you the question. I mean, ultimately, what is your final solution to this problem? I'm so sorry.
No, but that even works like...
I'm so sorry.
Asking what is your final solution... It's not good.
I don't like it.
It's not good.
I wish I didn't have to do it, but I had to do it. The joke was there.
But it's not good. But that is better than saying this is the final solution.
Right. Well, because I was trying very specifically to be funny.
it makes me mad.
I'm so sorry, Dan. I'm so sorry.
It's not you.
I know it's not me. But I'm adding to it.
And I apologize, man.
I apologize.
But this also should indicate, to you a little bit about, again, 2009 Alex versus present Alex.
Right.
Alex in present day, nor 2015 to present that we've listened to, doesn't bring up the Jews for, the preservation of the Second Amendment, any of that stuff. He doesn't talk about that organization being a piece of his worldview.
Really tries to ignore it.
But them and, Larry Pratt's Gun Owners of America were the people who he vouched for in 2009.
Of course.
And hated the NRA.
Of course.
Hated the NRA back then, loves them now, doesn't talk about the Jews for the preservation of gun ownership. Anyway, it's weird.
Odd.
Anyway, this next clip is gross. That's all I'll say about it.
Okay.
It's just fun to hear a nice gross clip.
Is it?
Well, right here, we'll put it on screen for you. A state may compensate juveniles sentenced by judges. And this goes on right here in Austin.
Very different story than what he's about to dive into.
Okay.
By the way, this is confirmed. No judge, no jury. It's not a real judge, not a real court, no due process. They're so lazy
judge.
When they kidnap small children, they don't even get the names right on the paperwork. They'll be kidnapping a newborn baby and say, the 3-year-old had cigarettes put out on his arm, and it's a baby. They'll have the name wrong on it. I mean, I've been at cases covering it, can't believe it. And the judges are like demon creatures.
Do
they ever need to have a psychopath for a movie? Hollywood should go do central casting out of these family court judges. I mean, they're always the same, just always just like, I mean, they'll even make faces like that, and they call the families in. They're shaking. The child's done nothing wrong, and they'll go, you sign this document and this decree agreement right now, or you'll never see your other children again. And then the father will go, no. That's it. Arrest him. And the guy will start crying, please. I didn't do anything wrong. She goes, trust me. Sign it. And the guy, the person will sign. They'll go, And they literally make a demon face. I've seen it. You actually, your heart kind of hits. And you go, oh, I've just seen a demon. And so I see this stuff every day, just pure evil, sickening, degenerate criminals running everything.
So, I mean, that's just the same impression he did an hour and a half ago. He's a fucking mentally ill lunatic.
In the context of the current day,
mm-hmm.
when we see so many immigrants.
Fuck you. That's my version of you doing shh. It's dismissive. Fuck you.
I know, but this can't be. This is a real.
Oh, you're talking about the kids that are being kept at centers and shit?
This turned this nightmare scenario.
No.
That in 2009.
No.
Is pretend.
No.
Has become real.
No, see, because
like,
it's,
aren't we supposed to like when you look at Alex's bullshit?
You're so stupid.
When you look at his dystopian nightmare in 2009, where you laugh at it and you say this could never happen, and then you look at the present day and it's fucking real.
And none of us really should have to, you know, be like, we were wrong about this, because who knew? Well, people who were listening probably should have known, and they did kind of know. We didn't listen to his show. He's been about the whites the whole time.
Yeah.
He's never really been all that concerned.
Nope.
Even in 2009, when we're looking at this, like, when we came back and we were very surprised to see Alex being mad at the police about that black guy who got shot in the BART.
Right.
Like, it was more about the fact that the cops killed him.
It could happen to whites.
Right.
And that's what it is.
It's,
and if
it's
it happens
never
to anybody else, I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
Tough. Fuck.
Anyway, we get one more clip.
All right.
We got one more clip.
Let's do this last clip.
So Alex has been talking a little bit about how he has an announcement to make.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a huge thing.
You would expect.
It turns out that Jason Burmess, the guy who directed Loose Change, and does periodic shows for Alex. He filled in for a couple shows recently, what have you.
Right.
Like, he's an InfoWars adjacent guy. And it's one of those things that's clear, like, you don't have a fucking team yet, Alex.
Yeah.
Because, like, Jason Burmess does, later in 2009, he's doing, like, once a week shows.
Uh-huh.
Or so. Like, he's, there's no David Knight, there's no crew. He has Jason Burmess.
Right.
So the announcement is that Jason Burmess is doing another show. He's moving to Austin and he's doing a show. So obviously there's some money that is coming in there. Now, here's where I think that I don't give a shit about that. Jason Burmess sucks.
Okay.
But here's why this is interesting. He says something in this clip that I think is so fucking damning. That, like, I don't even think he understands it coming out of his mouth. I don't think Alex, if he listened to this, I don't think he'd understand, like, how crazy this is.
We're doing what feels right, and that is expanding and going after not only the youth, but just an entirely new audience. Because, you know, you look at Ted Anderson, and he's running ads on Rush Limbaugh and Hannity. That's going to bring us an audience, folks. We need to keep talking to our neighbors, our friends, and family members, and bring them to this information so that we can save the Republic, Alex.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, we are putting on our afterburners right into the depression.
So, like, you understand what happened there.
He is,
Jason Burmess is saying Ted Anderson is buying ads on Hannity, on Rush.
Yep.
Do you know what
specifically
ads?
Specifically for the purpose. Yeah.
You know what ads?
I got it.
You know what ads he's buying on those shows?
What's he buying?
Gold.
Yeah.
He's buying Midas Resources ads.
Oh, yeah?
He's not buying Alex Jones show ads on Hannity's show. Why the fuck would Hannity accept an ad campaign from another conservative radio show that's on a competing network at the same time live as him? He would never do that. Ted Anderson is playing these guys because Ted Anderson, oh, get this. His whole business model also involved putting ads on competing conspiracy theory blogs to sell his gold, the Midas Resources stuff.
Right.
Because it was two separate businesses, it never really seemed like all that much of a trouble. So all of these shows had Midas Resources stuff going, all of them.
And anybody who makes anybody
Glenn
afraid.
Beck, Glenn
anybody
Beck,
who makes
Sean Hannity,
anybody
Rush
afraid.
Limbaugh, Neil Bortz, all of these guys, Mark Levin, all of them had ads from Midas Resources to sell gold. But you know what he wasn't trying to do? Build Alex's audience. He was trying to sell gold to those other scared people.
Yep.
Because that's what it's all about. Alex did it pretty well. He did it the best because he was the most malleable.
Right.
He was the one who would be like, oh, I will become a cucked out gold salesman.
I will
change everything about myself in order to fit your mold. But he never had the most audience. And that's why he still sold fucking ads to people like Rush, people like Sean Hannity.
I just want random pants, Dan. Why didn't Hannity ever sell me pants that I never knew would fit?
You don't know that he didn't.
That's true.
We don't know
You're
that,
right. I didn't
that
know
Diamond Gusset
I
has never advertised with
I
Sean Hannity.
I don't know that.
You don't know that for sure? But that's the kind of thing where I'm like, hey, guys, this is embarrassing. Yeah. Like, the idea that Jason Burmess is like, I'm going to move to Austin because how exciting is it that Ted Anderson is buying ads on Rush's show?
Yeah.
Like,
the idea is that gives us, if Ted Anderson is a sponsor of our show, and at the same time is a sponsor of Hannity and of Glenn Beck.
No.
That gives us the legitimacy.
No.
That's the concept behind
it. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to play this clip again for you
because
I think you misheard it.
Okay.
We're doing what feels right, and that is expanding and going after not only the youth, but just an entirely new audience because, you know, you look at Ted Anderson, and he's running ads on Rush Limbaugh and Hannity. That's going to bring us an audience.
He thinks that Ted Anderson is running ads on Hannity and Rush's show that's going to bring them an audience.
Right.
It's not. He's running gold sale commercials on those shows.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, hey, you should check out Jason Burmess's new show.
No.
You should check out Alex Jones.
I got that. But if you've got a guy who's sponsoring all of those shows.
No.
Then when you look up that guy.
Bullshit.
Okay.
Bullshit.
All right.
Because in that, even in that, what we just replayed, Jason Burmess understands Ted Anderson is our sugar daddy.
Yeah.
He's our guy.
Right.
He's our guy. The fact that he's putting ads on these expensive places to put ads means that their audience will soon be our audience. He's going to get them to come to us. That's not like our sponsor is their sponsor, and therefore there's an equivalence. He thinks, like, we're in, baby. We're in. That's what's behind what he's talking
about. Right. Yeah. I can see that.
And it's crazy, because Ted just wants to fucking sell gold, and he's using you and Alex.
He's using all of you. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's just capitalism.
Anyway.
Ugh.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Ugh. Dan, why did you have to end so miserably?
I don't know. Mostly because this show generally does. I'd like to thank everybody. And if you like what we do, please go to our website, knowledgefight.com.
Absolutely. Follow us on Twitter at @knowledge_fight.
Correct. Also, we're on Facebook.
We are. Go to iTunes. Leave a review. I hear that matters. Also, we have inexplicably been gaining listeners. And everybody who has started listening for whatever reason, thank you so much. It's amazing.
Thank you all.
It really is.
It's your turn.
Yeah, it is my turn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's fucking obvious. Go goddamn fuck yourself, ICE. You fucking Nazi goddamn bullshit organization that is fucking destroying the lives of people that you have no fucking deal with. I fucking can't handle that shit. If you are an ICE agent, you are a fucking Nazi. You are going to fucking Nuremberg trial yourself to goddamn death. And I hope eventually you are prosecuted the same way that Nazis are fucking prosecuted whenever they're found in goddamn Brazil. Don't fucking call this bullshit. I was following orders. Fuck you. Fucking goddamn die. Alrighty. Go fuck yourself, Sice.
Just on a technicality, you have to choose somebody else. They weren't on this show. The whole thing is someone who's on the show.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, but it was a correlation to the previous conversation that we had regarding that.
I don't disagree with you, but you got to choose someone who's on the fucking show that we just talked about.
Man, I think then it's gonna have to be goddamn Schiff. Schiff, this was the beginning of the end for you, Schiff. Peter Schiff.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.